Recorded live.
Okay, gentlemen, hope all is well. Welcome back again this Tuesday. The only rule that we have is no profanity. Everything else goes. The topic for the night is the real world. When married life moves from fantasy to reality and it's not what the husband or wife expected. This happens to be somebody else's topic, but they something came up and they couldn't make it. So I think that we will go ahead and take it from there. I don't have a lot on it.
Yes, you do.
I got some. Okay, well, there you go. It said we'll be exploring this topic for the following venues: sex, physical attractiveness, weight gain can apply to husband or wife, raising the kids, demands of dual careers, running household bills, chores, etc. And does anybody want to get this thing kicked off, their own personal story of, like, you know, the way it looked throughout the courtship, the way it was the first maybe 6 or 8 months when you were dating, as we call it, your wife's representative, and then the representative went away, and then now you're dealing with the real deal, and, you know, here you are at this point. Does anybody want to get kicked off?
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and let go, release some built-in frustration. I knew my wife from school. Knew all about her. Knew her goods or bads. But when you first go into a marriage, those first couple years, you assume that some of those things will go away. That we've been together so long, you know me, I know you. We don't have to go through this. We should be able to now communicate, and everything should be okay. But I think I brought this a while ago back, that the only issue I probably, it took me a long time to get over, is that nagging was an issue to me.
The nagging?
The nagging. The nagging. You said you was going to do this. Why you haven't done this? This, that. It seemed like all our conversations when we started communicating went from, hey, how was your day, to why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? The nagging. It was tough. It was tough for a while because you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear the nagging. You go to work, you come home, yeah. You go to work, you come home, you don't want to just turn into, here it is, nagging. It got to the point where I think I put this out before, where you drive around the block for a while. Before you even go in, just so you can prepare your mind. All right, I get it. And you get to the point where, like, man, do I gotta go home and hear this mess tonight? Has anybody had that type of conversation?
Well, let me ask you a question, though, man. I mean, so was she like that prior to?
Oh, yeah.
Was it like a setup?
No, it wasn't even set up. I knew all about it.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, at the beginning, I just assumed it would go away.
Hmm. So you thought marriage was going to take care of that?
Yes.
Okay. First mistake.
Yeah, I actually did. When I was younger, I thought that they would take care of that.
Okay.
And it did. And then I didn't know how to, one, control it. I didn't know how to get out in the open. So I do what the majority of what all men do, put up a barrier.
So you just shut down.
Yeah. And I think for a long time that hurt the communication in our marriage. It's because when it did come down to talking to each other, my first reaction was to shut down.
Wow. Wow.
Somebody's got a cooking or something.
Yeah.
In the background here, a lot of background.
No, I'm stuck. I'm about to stop right now. It's drying from cold in a big dryer.
What's up, Simon?
Hey, but I just wanted to say what's up because I ain't talked to y'all in so long, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, Simon, man, we was about to put an APB out on you, man. I was ready to get in my car and come find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back, brother. Go ahead, tell us something good.
Thank you. Well, everything is everything. I just want to soak in some of this conversation first.
Then well, go ahead. I threw mine out there.
I'm gonna get back on the call because it's too loud in here. Now I'm gonna call right back.
Okay. But that was mine. I my first problem is how do I break this barrier? Because I held it up for years. I've held that one for a long time. That barrier.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And this question may go out to a lot of the people on the call. But why do we get into situations where we know, and Patrice, you're not the only one that's done this, but why do we get into a situation where we know there's an issue and we just hope that by some mystical power, it's just going to change and get better?
Well, can I answer that?
Of course.
I thought that I could be Superman and see through that vision. Because I always felt that because I know my wife, and I knew and I loved her, and I still do, that I see stuff that she doesn't see about herself that I thought I can bring out of her, and then bringing that out of her would stop this other stuff.
Well, can I say something, Patrice?
Yeah.
Sure. One thing that the core of all this is that I see is that men and women communicate love differently, okay? And when a woman nags a man, what she's saying is, I don't respect you, okay, because you're not good enough, all right? We men need our egos stroked, okay? And when we're told what we're not doing and told what we're not accomplishing and told that we're not good enough, what we're told is, I don't love you. That's what we receive. And see, what a lot of times women don't understand is that's not what they're trying to say, I don't love you, but that's how we receive love through honor and respect. And if I can't be honored and respected in my own home, you must not love me. So then what do we do to combat that? Well, you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. I know you like to communicate, so I'm going to down.
And you're about right.
Okay. And then she goes, oh, you're going to shut down. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to make you earn sex. Or I'm going to, and it'll be tit for tat, tit for tat, tit for tat. And then one day, one little thing will happen, and boom, everything blows up. And it all comes down from understanding that men and women communicate differently, and if we can understand how that communication works, chances are your wife was not trying to tell you, I don't love you and I don't respect you. See, we don't need, I love you, I love you, I love you, as much as I respect you and I appreciate you. You're my king and you're my hero. Okay, we'll knock the world down if our women tell us that. Okay.
Because what ended up happening, it took me, we've been together for 16, married for 11, and it took me 13 years to get past this.
How did you finally do it?
Counseling.
Man, I was sure waiting to ask that because that's exactly what I was hearing. It's Roosevelt from Ohio. But we've been doing some of this counseling with folks now, and I'm telling you, couples just do not, let's say at the beginning, and I forgot your name, bro, but at the beginning of this relationship, and you said you knew your wife because y'all had kind of high school sweetheart kind of thing, but you never know,
college, but
really, until or college, you really never know them until you get in that house with them.
Mm.
And that's a whole different dynamic. And the other thing about that is, you said who she was, and quite frankly, you didn't. I'm sure you didn't. You knew a lot about her, but you didn't really know who she was.
Right. You're right.
But at the same time, she thought she knew who you was based on what you were presenting to her. And I will tell you, most of us lie when we're courting.
Yep.
I don't care if it's been 4 years. You were lying because you were doing things probably for her that right now you probably don't do everything as fast as you used to do it back then. And so now when you get in the house and it's like, well, I feel like I got some time with this or I'll get to it. But for her, she was used to you jumping when she said she wanted something because you were courting her that way. And so she got used to that. And when you got the ring on the finger, then it's like you weren't jumping as fast anymore, likely. And so now she starts nagging because you ain't who she thought you were. And she is not who you thought she was. But the bottom line is now y'all together and you're going to have to work it out.
Oh, yeah.
And
and it took me to take that first step because it was me. You know, it was me putting up the wall. It was me not wanting to hear. You know what I mean? Not wanting to listen to what she had to say.
Absolutely. Yep.
And it took me, when we got married, I mean, I was still in my 20s when we got married. So I still had that, I want to go out with my friends and still do the things at home. Now, I'm not going to disrespect home, and I haven't disrespected home, but I still want to do some of those things with my friends.
Married but single. Right. Married but single.
Right. Yeah. And it took me a while to grow out of that. And the further, and God put me on the path where every time when I get ready to get in trouble, He'll move me to another city, and I'll meet new Christian folks. And then He moved me to another city, and then I'll meet more Christian folks and start hanging more with those other friends that were, they're not bad because they're cool. We're still cool. But then they start having their families, and now I have to start having my families, and now I have to communicate more because now we have kids. Now we have a house. We got bills, you know. So, but even then I would still put that wall up because that wall was easier to put up based on what happened 10 years ago, you know? It was just easier to put the wall up. But now we're at a place now where I don't have to put that wall up. Sometimes that urge is there to put that wall up and not listen. But now I'm able to communicate a little better. She said I'm getting better, you know? I'm still a work in progress. But, That was a tough part when fantasy went to change into real life. Because now we got real personal issues, and now we got to work together to get out these issues. You know?
Let me pose this question to the brothers, and that's so I'm going to back it up just a tad bit and say, where did the fantasy come from? Where did we get our idea of marriage? Now, granted, I know I won't take for granted that everyone is raised in a household with a mother and father, so that might not have been your where you got your perspective from. But where did the fantasy come from, and how real was the fantasy?
Was that question for me?
No, that's just to the brothers in general. If you want to answer, that's fine.
I mean, yeah, I mean, since I got the floor right now, if I can go ahead on, just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
My fantasy was I wanted to be different than what I saw from my father.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a man who wasn't really a rolling stone. Wherever you lay your hat was your home. I wanted to be different. That was my whole objective.
Well, let me
you talking about your wife?
Not so much what you wanted to be, the role that you wanted to play, but marriage as an institution. Where did you get your fantasy from?
Well, I mean, that was from my family. That was from my mother and father. But the lead part was that I didn't want to do the other thing.
I wanted to be the guy to break that mold. So that made my motivation more, if you don't understand what I'm saying.
I got mine from Leave It to Beaver.
You know what?
Man, I'm playing.
Ward and Judy.
Right.
Is that her name? But Tony, if I could, there's two things I want to point out. That, now, to answer your question, I think this might be answering your question. This may be out of left field, but I think that fantasy of marriage, I think it's as natural as this. Whatever, all our natural things that are natural about it, I just think it's something in a human to want that companionship. And you hear some guys and even some girls talk about, man, I just ain't married and tight. But I think it's just a natural thing to want some type of long-lasting companionship. And I think the ultimate thing is a wife or a husband, matrimony. I think everybody has it in them. You know, at some point they say, you know what, it's time for me to settle down. Or that's what you work towards ultimately, to have a companion to enjoy life with. And at some point in your life, whether you're young or what, you know, some of the brothers get really old and they decide, you know, it's time to lay it down and do it. But I think it's a natural thing. I think that's something God put in us. And when he created Adam, you know, he realized Adam needed somebody. So he gave him Eve. You know, he needed a companion. So I think that's natural.
You know,
the
I'm with
second
worried.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Well, no,
go ahead. I'm sorry. You go.
I don't want to get off that, but I want to address the brother from Ohio. I'm so glad he said what he said, because I got this jewel a couple weeks ago from a brother in Florida, an older brother, that talked about, you know, the truth, being truthful early in your relationship. And he gave me this scenario of, you know, being a young investor, when you invest in your money, as a young man, you invest aggressively. You know, you take your chances when you're young. And then when you're older, that's when you're more reserved. And he said that's how you approach love in your relationship with a person. Invest aggressively with truth. Be truthful about everything up front.
That's true.
Break. So and then as you get older, if she can deal with, you know, the truth, as you get older, you start being more reserved in your investment because you know what she don't like. You know what's not going to work. So not being dishonest, but you know you know how to approach your wife with certain things. And that was just powerful to me when he told me that.
Well, and that's, I don't know how many people on the call have been through premarital counseling, but when you're truthful and you're getting asked some of those questions, and you answer them truthfully, and she answers them truthfully, then you really get to see who that person is, especially if the counselor is someone who is pretty skilled in that, because you're able to dig deeper and get past the outward so much and get people to really share what their true feelings are. And when you can see that, then you know who you're marrying. And sometimes, like what you said, you can walk into a marriage with your eyes wide open and know what you're going to deal with and think that's the fantasy, as Rodney was saying, and as you were saying, is that's the fantasy, I'm going to change them. Or the fantasy is, based on what you saw in your own home, as Rodney was saying, where did you get it from? It could be what you saw in your own home, which may not have been perfect, but it seemed like it was perfect to you. And now you're in your own home, and you think it's supposed to work that way, but she didn't come up like that. So she sees something totally different as her fantasy. And it could involve Barbie dolls and Ken dolls. I don't know. But either way, both of your fantasies don't line up. And so the only way to get this thing straight and see the reality of it is to get with somebody, if you're so messed up at this time about it, get with somebody who does this premarital counseling and dig deep. And I'm not just saying anybody. I mean, you got to get somebody that can really ask those tough questions of both of you to make you soul search and really find out, number one, who you are and what your desires are, because even though we think we know who we are, until somebody starts to question us as to what is deep down in you, what are your desires, and who makes you who you are, and you find that you can't answer those questions so easily, then you need to take some time. We all do. And get to figure out who
right.
we are before we can talk about having a spouse come up in there. And if you're already
right.
in the situation, I still say we need to do the same exact thing and find out who we are so that we can really tell and portray to our spouse the truth of who we are, and then we can deal with each other in truth. Even though we
right.
got the thing zone, so it's too late now, but we can still, from this point, deal with each other from a standpoint of truth and not fallacy.
Right. The reason why I brought up the where, kind of backpedaling and saying, where did you get the fantasy, was because my parents, who are still married to this day, are, on the 4th, they just celebrated their 54th wedding anniversary. And growing up, to me, it seemed like the perfect marriage. The dad was holding the traditional male roles and the outside chores and the cars and working 2-3 jobs or whatever to bring home the bills. Mom's at home with the kids for the most part until later got jobs and stuff like that, taking care of the house, making sure things are taken care of. So the traditional role. And so when I got married, I wasn't naive by any stretch of the imagination, but I still had certain things implanted in me through my parents' marriage. And so, but once I got married and I got on the other side of the stick, and the truth be told, I was doing marriage counseling to married couples before I was even married. Didn't have any experience, but nonetheless, I was going off of what the word said. But with all that aside, when I got married, I realized, and it wasn't until after I got married that I started talking more about things to my dad and to my mom, and then they started exposing me to things that they had been shielding me from all of these years and telling me how troubled and how much turmoil they had in their relationship, and almost called it quits on several times through the relationship, and how they still having struggles even now and 54 years into the marriage. And and I'm saying to myself, geez, you know, now you want to tell me this stuff? now I'm in it now. There's no backing out for me. So, the first 3-5 years or what have you of the relationship, the marriage kind of tells the story. And truly it was difficult for me to get away from some of the fantasy, I guess, that I had about marriage to some degree. Again, not that I was naive, but thinking certain things that I could do in a relationship, some things are acceptable in a relationship, and quickly find out that might have been acceptable to some other, whatever I had in my mind about how my spouse was going to act or react to certain things that I did, but my spouse is not going to react the way I wanted them to do all the time. So my wife sometimes acted differently, and that changed the fantasy to reality real quick, and I had to adjust.
Yes, sir.
Everybody still
good
there?
Good words.
Oh, yeah, we're still here. Good
oh,
words.
Yeah.
Good words. Anybody want to reflect on that?
Yeah, well, one thing I will say with that is parents have a responsibility, and wonderful example that you gave, Rodney, but parents have a responsibility to show the kids that, yeah, we have struggles, because we shouldn't play into the fantasy. And it's important, it's very important that the kids get to see that we do have arguments, but it's also equally important that they see we know how to make up. Because if you ever have, if they can only see the good side, then when they do get in marriage, and Rodney's perfect example that he gave us, then they think everything's supposed to be okay all the time, because that's what I saw growing up.
That's a great point. And
I
just
right.
bounce off of that. I just think that, you know, my wife and I, we try not to argue, you know, in front of the kids. But I think you just made the greatest point that, you know, you have to show them that, yes, you know, it's mommy and daddy do have some disagreements, and yes, mommy and daddy can work it out. Because like you said, if they see, you know, us going around and being, you know, cordial, even though we mad as fire or whatever, you know, with each other, then they grow up thinking, man, you know, mommy and daddy, well, oh, they didn't have any issues. You know, this is perfect. Marriage is great, you know, when that's not reality.
Nope. Yeah. One of the things with my wife and I, this is Andrew, by the way, we've been married going on 5 years now, and both of us have been married before, and she had a daughter coming into the marriage. My kids were already out of the house. But one of the things is that, you know, she's got to see the reality, and she does. My wife and I do some marriage teaching, and one of the things that we want her to see is, you know, we have issues. We have challenges. Sometimes we have strong challenges, but we also let her see that we always come back to forgiveness, and you know, it's never a personal kind of a, you know, attack kind of a situation. So I think kids do need to see you disagree. They need to see reality, because one day you're raising them, hopefully, to get up and get the heck out of your house. And get married and have successful marriages. You know, our goal is for our children to have successful marriages, not for them to have broken marriages with broken kids because of it. So it's really our responsibility to teach them the truth about relationships, that it's not all, you know, happy, smiley. You know, you got two different people with two different, you know, points of view sometimes. And sometimes you're just having a tough day, and, you know, you deal with things in a different way. But we always want to do that, show the truth. You know, you got to be real, because kids see through it anyway. Kids are very perceptive. You know, if you think you're hiding stuff, you're not really hiding it. You know, they see through stuff. So that's what's worked for us.
Good words. Let's throw the monkey wrench in. I think it's time for a monkey wrench. Let's talk about the dime piece that we married. Let's talk about, when I say the dime piece, let's talk about that size 8. Let's just try size 6, size 8, if that's what it was, or whatever the case may be. That's now a 12, or whatever the case may be. But not the same size. Doesn't look the same. Are we being supportive in that area, or are we blaming them for letting certain things go? You know,
Tony, oh, let me get on that right away, because I'm gonna have a different approach to this one, because my wife was a size 6 when we got married, and now she's probably pushing a size 10. And
okay.
I told her I like her better as a size 10. And I didn't realize it, and, you know, maybe that's because we've been married 10 years and we got two kids and all that good stuff, but I actually like her better as a size 10. Now, she doesn't like it. She wants to get down to a size 6, you know, that she was before, or even smaller. And I told her, I was like, I don't want you getting down, you know, too small now. You know, I don't want you to be no, you know, like a runner, you know, like a size 4 or 2. And I was like, don't, you know, don't get too small. So, and I never thought I would feel that way. Because when I met her, you know, we were dating, you know, she was that size 6. And I was like, you know, she was that dime piece. And now at a size 10, she's still a dime piece. And I'm like, you know, I find myself like, yeah, I like the size 10. And I never thought, you know, that I would feel that way. I always thought I liked the size 6. But I don't know if I'm maturing or what. But, I take a different approach to that. I, you know, I'm like, you know, don't go, you know, maybe size 12 might be pushing it, but, you know, I mean, I like the size 10, you know, 8 to 10, you know, I'm cool with that, but, you know.
Let me throw a monkey wrench in that. What if she hit a size 20?
Yeah. What would you do? Because some people are living that.
Yeah, some people are living that. I'd be like, baby, let's start running, and we need to watch what we're eating, when we're eating. You know, I would just be helpful. And probably before she got to a size 20, I would probably, you know, when she get to 12 or, you know, 14, I'd probably say, hey, you know, we need to do some things here to, you know, correct that. And,
But whoa, how would you approach that? When you said we got to do some things to correct that, okay. But what you just said to her was there's something wrong with you and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, and I'll say that actually I wouldn't even have to say anything, because even at a size 10, she's on the treadmill at 4:30, hustling.
But that is her decision. But,
yeah.
But what if it wasn't?
We'd have a problem.
And you
met, we have some issues. I don't know what I would do with that.
Okay.
I really don't.
And that's what a lot of guys are dealing with. Okay,
yeah.
They married the 6, they married the 8, they married the 2, they married the 4, 3 kids later, and now she's a 350 pounds on a Haagen-Dazs day.
Mm.
Wow.
Right. Wow.
I'm just being straight up, man.
Yeah.
If possible.
You know,
possible.
As men, we are visually stimulated.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of women think there's something wrong with that, and if they really have a problem with that, they really need to take that up with God because that's how He wired us. Okay, now women, you will see a guy that's not so in shape and not the prettiest looking guy that has a bomb looking girl on his, but you'll hardly ever see a good-looking dude that's in shape with a beast on his arm. Isn't that right? Okay. And you see this monkey-looking dude and say, how the heck did he get a honey like that? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because women are stimulated emotionally. And the outside isn't as important to women as it is to men. Now, some women it is, but for the most part, women aren't that that's not number one. That's not what gets, that's not what grabs them. They're not walking down the hall, down the mall, and some fine dude walks by and all they can do is break their neck to look at them. That's not normally the way women are wired. But us guys, we're walking with a woman and some hot thing walks by. We're doing everything we can not to look at her.
Right. So,
right?
Okay. So on that note, and this is Devon speaking, on that note, and that's, going back to what Rodney was talking about, we're trying to answer a question of a what if. What if our wives were to get to that point where, they're heavier than what they were when we met them.
Mm-hmm.
To me it's a thing of my wife in general, she wouldn't let herself get to that point because in this day and age, in the way the divorce rate is high and things like this, a lot of things come into a marriage. And let's be real, appearance is one of those things. So my wife, my wife in general won't let herself get to that point. She's going to do what she can as a woman, as herself, as a self-respecting woman, to keep her figure, to keep her man happy. You know what I mean?
I lived through that.
Is that without you letting her know?
I'm sorry?
Is that what I mean? Yes, because the thing of it is I married my wife. We had children together. Things happen after a woman has a child.
Right.
There could be a point where she gains weight and gets stretch marks. You still have to love that woman because God has blessed you with healthy children. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about the man's perspective going into it. You married a dime piece.
Right.
You lay down with your dime piece and you produced a beautiful family. So you can't go and get greedy on that. You know what I mean? You can't go get greedy because your wife is now a couple pounds heavier after the kids were born.
My point is with that, and the reason why I asked that question, because my point is, as I'm listening, and we were talking about being truthful up front, I think what happens in a lot of cases is that we wait too long to decide that we want to start talking about it or making comments about her getting heavier when, we let them know up front, baby, you're picking up when you see it coming, you see it happening. But we so reserved about, you don't want to mess things up. You don't want to tell her that she's picking up a little weight. But now that was 5 pounds she picked up. Now when she done picked up 20, now you want to talk about it because you just can't stand it.
You see, but that's...
What I'm saying is, that's why I was asking, is it about, is your wife that way because of the communication or is it because she just know herself? That you don't like.
I think it's because once she knows herself, like I said, my wife only gained 25 pounds during her pregnancy, both of them. Okay? After she had the baby, I'll say a month after that, my wife was down to the size she was and the weight to the number that she was before she even got pregnant.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, you know what I mean? I got my Don Peace wife, the person I met, the person I fell in love with. I got her back even after the children. So I'm blessed on both sides. You know, the thing of it is, you know, ask yourself. You can kind of flip this. You can kind of flip it over and say, okay, as a man, have or do you still look the same way? I don't. I do not. I do not look the same way. When I got out of the military, I started gaining my weight, and I am heavier now than I was in the military. And that's when she met me with the, you know what I mean, with the six pack abs and everything. So while we sitting on the side worrying about, you know, our wives getting bigger, as a man, as a head of household, I mean, let's keep it real. Are we keeping ourselves up to standards for our women?
I'll
piggyback off.
Before you get into that, because I went through the situation of marrying a size 6 and her getting to a size 22.
Okay.
Okay. And I was young, and I'm going to tell you what does not work. Okay? What does not work is saying, you picking up weight, and we're going to do something about it.
Right.
Okay. Because what that says to a woman is, you only love me for what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. And that's what that did. And as a matter of fact, the cycle of tit for tat now started getting into, you're not going to tell me what I can eat.
Mm.
Okay? So now, because I was, you know, this way now, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I don't care. And that's the kind of cycle. It didn't work for me saying, you know, you're getting kind of heavy. Let's hit the treadmill. Okay? You know, and then it got to the point where I didn't have to say anything. I would just look at her when she was eating stuff. I'm serious.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was it something behind the gaining of weight? Was there a root cause problem?
There was a lot of psychological issues.
Was it some
problems, man?
Yeah, there was a lot of psychological issues. Okay, and you know, one of the things that's real important, like my wife now, and you know, that was when I was 23 years old, and today I have a different wife. Not because she gained the weight, but there was a lot of other issues. And when I married my wife, when I met my wife, she was 106 pounds. Okay? When we got married, she was probably about 120. About 6 months after we got married, my wife got very, very ill. Okay? And they put her on steroids and all kind of stuff like that. And she gained a good amount of weight. All right? Now, she knows, you know, and she, you know, everyone is aware of what they look like. For me to have to say, honey, you're gaining 5 pounds, she knows it before I do because their clothes aren't as the same. They don't fit the same. Things are different, okay? I don't need to say that to my wife. As a matter of fact, because of the relationship that I have with my wife today, she wants to look good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you know, I love her anyway. All right. But she knows. She makes a joke with me because when we first got together, I would see her and go, damn. Oh, excuse me. Can I say that? I mean, I was like, damn. Got to have me some of that. Okay. You know. And she goes. Now she goes, what happened to the damn? Okay, but that's what she wants back. She knows that I love her, and she knows that's not the question. But she also understands that, you know, this is what, you know, this is what turns me on, and you know, vice versa. You know,
right.
I gained a lot of weight when we got married. You know, you get married, you get happy, you get fat.
Yep, you sure do.
I think the biggest thing when you think about, you know, the family and the wife's body changing and things like that, it's not necessarily sometimes the weight. What frustrates me the most is the lack of the discipline and the will to get back. Because to answer the question earlier, I actually look better now than I ever did. Because in my mind, what I'm trying to do is make sure that I'm trying to make sure.
Tell us about it.
In my mind, I'm looking better than I ever did, and the reason why is because
is this Tony talking?
No.
Go pay. Hey. Go ahead, pay.
The reason why I look better is because I have taken it upon myself to say, you know what? I got a family to support. I need to be in the best physical shape possible in case something happens in my home, something happens at the workplace, that I need to be able to function. So I've taken it upon myself to run every day, to work out three or four times a week, to eat healthier, to make sure that I'm cutting carbs and doing different things so I can keep my weight down. I'm at a better stage now, and that's the discipline that I think that comes into it. So when I look at it and I say, oh, okay, you know, you had the baby, put a couple pounds on and all that stuff, but you got to be disciplined enough to get back to where you need to be in order to be able to be on point for your family, for your kids. Because for you to be around here struggling to get up and down steps or to do things, or, you know, you are starting to pretty much model the way of how things would potentially be, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Because I'm not gonna have kids sitting around here thinking that it's cool to just snack and not exercise, not want to go outside, not want to do things that are physical because that's going to take a lot of work and stuff like that. For me, more so, it's the discipline.
This is the thing, man, that I always bring up, and I always say, I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is the thing I always bring up. I think we, all the time, we let women off just too easy.
Exactly.
Simply because you listen to what you're doing it for. The reason why you're keeping yourself in the shape that you're keeping yourself in, and the reason why you want your kids to see that. But with the woman, realistically, I know it's much broader than what I'm saying, but it's like all they have to do is just look good, and just have that thing that guy gave them between their legs, and everything else falls into place. It's up to the man, you know. It's up to the man to do everything else, and I think that it's just not right. I think a woman should work on looking good.
Exactly.
Now, the brother that was speaking before about your wife and you know, her becoming sick, that's a different circumstance. And I'm going, you know, you're going to love her regardless. You know, no matter how much weight she pick up, anything, you still see your wife for her.
But I think that
society, when you see her for her, go ahead and say, you see it no matter what side she be, you're going to love her. And that's most of us are like that anyway. But when a woman is just, I got you, I can just let myself go, we married. And they don't care.
I want to ask a question.
If you said regardless of what size does she get, you still going to love her. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, I'm going to love her. I'm going to miss her.
If you love her, I got to tell you. If you really sit here and you really think about it, I forget who was just saying that their wife was a size 6 and she's a size 10 and he likes her better that way. I really believe that when you love a person, and you see them, you know, you find that beauty in them. Anyway, I tell you, I can look at any woman that walk past, no matter what size she is, and I don't have to know her. I can always find something beautiful about that woman. That's just me.
I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna be honest with you. If I'm one of these brothers that doesn't do well with change, so if I'm not getting better, then I'm gonna have a problem with it. If you're not getting better, I'm gonna have a problem with it. If you're going in a different direction than what we signed up for, and that's how I kind of look at it in some aspects, then I'm gonna have a problem. I'm gonna love you. I'm going to love you, but it's going to be very difficult for me to really want to be involved to the capacity with you, especially when I'm busting my ass to make sure that I'm doing the things necessary, like I said before, to be disciplined, to be in the best shape for my family, to be able to defend my home if I need to be able to chase a car down the street if something's not doing what it needs to be. I'm going to have a problem.
Now the reality, just two realities I want to kind of bring up, because when we say we having a problem, then really the marriage vows ain't really for better. right. It's only for
no,
better.
No. It's there because, like I said, I'm gonna still love you, but I'm gonna have a problem because I'm, like I said before, originally,
right.
It's the discipline side of it because I think
right.
the better for worse is there, but you can still be disciplined
like, for
with
example,
the things
if,
that are going
if
on.
If they fall, if your lady fall down the stairs, break her leg, she gonna gain some weight. If she get thyroid, they deal with thyroids, they deal with breast cancer, they deal with things that men don't typically deal with until later stages. But ultimately, women's health lasts longer than a man's health. I see more women pushing men in wheelchairs than I see men pushing women in wheelchairs.
Yeah, but
let me bring this back around.
Break that up for
circle.
One second, though.
Oh.
Can I just say one thing about that?
Mm-hmm.
Men is we are notorious for not going to the doctor. That's why I
right.
see more men in wheelchairs than women. Women will go for the slightest thing if they may go for their once-a-year physical and their once-a-year gynecological checkups that they'll find things. Men will see urine in their pee and go, well, you know, it's just a kidney stone. We don't
right.
need doctors.
Right.
So a
right.
lot of times if we last long enough, it's because we have that mentality of, oh, yeah, I'm a man, I'm going to be okay. No, I got, it's just as a comedian used to say, I got part wolf in me, I'm going to be straight. And women
I thought it was I don't like pain and I'm afraid of the doctor, but
yeah, that's
I don't know.
But,
needles at all, whatever. We,
yeah,
well,
let me ask this question to the group, because since we're talking fantasy to reality, that how many of us really thought about that before saying I do, in terms of how many of us really we said better for worse and playfully maybe thought, baby, I'm going to love you no matter how big you get, da da da. But how many of us actually put thought into it? If it actually happened that she went from a 6 to a 20 or 22 or whatever size she becomes, how would we actually react? How many of us actually put thought?
I don't believe that there's any man sitting in this conversation right now that is going to, kind of shy away from the fact that whatever drew them to their wives had to be an apparent factor. Anybody that goes in a relationship, you know, that woman could be successful, you know, from about 10 meters away. She could be the finest thing in the world, and you get up on it, she probably had two teeth in her mouth. You will actually be turned off by that.
So,
why are you going to talk about my wife like that?
Did you marry Tina?
You know, what I mean, to me, that was just the honest.
Why are you talking about my wife like that?
You know, we don't go into that, you know, thinking, you know, down the road. It's like when you love your spouse, when you love someone, whether it be a man, you know, a woman or a woman loving a man, when you love your spouse, it's like when, at that point in your life, when does appearance do not matter?
Right.
I think that was
the fantasy. The fantasy was that they'll stay the same size forever.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that.
But wait a minute.
But I'm going to say, wait a minute.
Can I add something? So let me throw a monkey wrench in there. When is it when you're supposed to stop pampering your wife?
Never.
Never. You know?
I guess the way I look at it.
You want her to be a certain way. Aren't you supposed to pay for that? Aren't you supposed to say, well, I need you to, I don't want you to have crusty feet in the bed. I need you to go down here and get this pedicure, you know?
Right.
You know, I want you to feel good about you.
You have
like
to remind your wife to go get a pedicure?
Why do you have to remind your wife to take care of herself? No, I'm not saying you have to remind her. I'm saying that you're saying, I mean, it's like the beginning of the when you know what you do when you first get your woman. You know, you try to pamper, you try to go get your hair done. You know, on me. You know, you do those things.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I mean, I just think about it from the standpoint of all of us. I don't know how you gentlemen were raised, but I'm coming from a single parent home, and I'm coming from an old school mother mindset. All my aunts and whatnot, and there's certain expectations that have been placed upon me and brought up in my upbringing. With how, you know, you should look at what a woman should be doing and what she should be doing in the home front and how she should be taking care of you and how she should be taking care of herself. So a lot of this stuff, particularly, you know, going back to the tit for tat, it's not really a tit for tat, but it's expectations. I mean, I did have these conversations with my wife, and I've told her, and I've shared with her. She knew this before we got married. I said, you know, I'm going to have some difficulties if who is not here today is not here in a couple of years. I'm going to love you, but there are going to be some difficulties because there are some things that, you know, you just – that comes across with the communication piece. I mean, and I was upfront and I was honest. And I don't have to say things because exactly as the gentleman said earlier, I don't have to say anything about a couple pounds here or there. All I got to do is just take a look. And she knows. She already knows. Mm. She sees me out there coming in, spending time with the baby, doing different things, but then getting out there whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 5:30 in the morning and running. She sees it. She knows. But these are all the things that we talked about, the expectations that are put, bestowed upon us. That hasn't changed. And I think that's the biggest thing that's frustrating, particularly for us men, is sometimes it's a cop-out for you to say, I had a baby, and I'm bringing the family, and I'm doing this, and I got this task, and I got that. Well, we do, too. But
well,
I'm still going.
Let me say one thing about you, buddy, is it sounds like to me you leading by example. And as long as you get out there and work out, she'll start to work out. One question I want to go back to my man that said his wife went from a 6 to a 10. And if she go to a 12, he might have a problem. And that point was, if she, when you tell your wife, even though she had a 10, you tell her she looked good, do she hear it as she looked good, or do she hear it as you trying to keep her away from getting attention? Do she hear it as love and support? I mean, I'm just saying for me, I could tell my wife, you look good. But if she's not satisfied with her size, she might hear, even though I'm conveying it, that you look good, and I really mean you look good, and P-H-A-T, you look good. But she might be hearing it from a perspective of, she always respond from a perspective that I'm not, I don't really mean it.
Yeah, well, I'll just answer that. Yeah, because I think that when I tell my wife that she looks good and that she's fine at a 10, I think she knows that I'm genuine, but herself, she's not comfortable at a 10 herself, and I ain't got nothing to do with that. I mean,
but see, okay, let me chime in right there, if I may, for this moment. See, that's the thing, though. This is what I don't understand. It's like some Jedi mind trick type of crap. We just be honest.
Exactly.
If you're not happy with where you are, why are you sitting stagnant? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a cop-out because it leads to other things. You know, oh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do this. You know, I hear my friends talk about, yeah, my wife don't want to have sex anymore because, you know, she's concerned about her weight and she don't want to do this. That's a cop-out. Do what you need to do in order to get yourself in shape. It's
yes,
the bottom line.
Because when you become married, it's a selfless. Now it's selfless. You got to think about what your spouse is what it ain't about you no more.
Exactly.
You know,
bam.
She may not be happy. It ain't about you no more. And too many times women, the women, it's okay because they're women.
Right.
You know, this is
right.
They have babies. And that ain't okay.
No.
That's the Jedi mind trick right there. I'm going to tell you guys, God got a sense of humor. Because the thing is, man, let me tell you, women, when they're 20 years old, they're finer than they ever been.
But you know
and
what, though?
When they're 50 years old, they look better than they ever looked
you
before.
You know what, though? We always grew up hearing God don't like ugly, but he might not like pretty either. He might not like pretty either. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm going to throw that out there. You know, he might
let
not like pretty it. Either.
Let me flip it on the brothers.
Let me come at you from just something different. Me, I am young. I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm 26. I'm trying to get serious with my girl. She looks, of course, right now looks better than she ever. And so right now I'm asking myself the question, if she does pick up a few pounds, am I going to have a problem with it? And the answer is without a doubt, yes. And I've spoken with her about that. But one of the things that I appreciate that I'm learning from the head of household call is that the man comes first in the relationship, and therefore I got to look at myself, you know, when dealing with that. And, you know, if my wife is, you know, gaining all types of weight and, you know, looks different than what, you know, than what I'd wanted to look like, the very first thing I'm going to do is look at myself and say, okay, what am I doing? And when I approach her, I think I would probably have a lot of success if I approach her with, you know, baby, what am I not doing to emotionally support you or to physically support you? I mean, to make you feel better about yourself. You know what I mean? To make you, you know, want to go out and look good and, you know, and stay in shape. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's like I said, I'm young and, you know what I mean, I have a limited experience, but typically if I look at myself and, you know what I mean, try to, you know, put myself in the head of household position, and not that I'm apologizing before I kind of, you know, say what I want, but it's as if I'm empathizing with her, you know, and kind of connecting and saying, hey, you know, putting it back on me because I am the head of household. I've seen to have a little success with that, but like I said, I mean, I am speaking as, you know, someone who's a little inexperienced. So
yeah, and Ron,
good words,
though.
Good words.
Good words.
Good
words. And yours is true. You know, I say this, brothers, that, you know, when I was young, when I was Ron's age last week, when I was young, I said the same thing that Ron said. My wife, you know, we talked, and she said, you know, I've been married 10 years, so, you know, early in the marriage, she said, well, would you still love me if I gain a few pounds? I was like, nah. I mean, you need to get working out, and you need to check that, because I ain't going to like that. You know, like Peyton would say, I mean, we got a problem here. But the reality is, it wasn't a problem. When she did, you know, go from size to size and the kids came and all that, I'm like, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking when I was young. I like this size.
Right.
You know, well, now she gets a little bigger, you know, and I think the question was raised, too, if she goes to a 12 or a 14. I, you know, right now I can say that, no, you know, she better tighten it up. You know, she better get back down to that 8 or 10. But I don't know until she – I might, you know, when she gets to a 12, I might still be like, yo, I'm liking a 12. I'm liking a 14.
But the important thing is you told her up front.
Up front.
From the beginning.
Exactly.
Right.
She knew from the beginning. You didn't wait until she was 20. That's the important thing right there. And that's
exactly
the reason why I say – we can't let the women just can't keep getting off. We can't wait till they pick up 20 pounds and say, oh, baby, by the way, I don't like that.
Here's a question I have, though. I mean, you say you told her up front, but what if, you know, your wife's a 6 or a 7 and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I love you, you're just that great, you know, I'm going to be all right with this. But then she gets to that 12, that 14, and then all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm not really attracted to this. I mean, you may not know up front. What do you do in a situation like that? And this is not my issue, but I don't see how that would work for you.
Hopefully you have shot a look or encouraged a run or done something or taken over the cooking or something before it got to that point. Because if you get to that point, you on the back end, you on the back side of chaos.
Yeah.
You know, the truth about it is once you get on that backside of chaos, you put yourself in a hole right there because you knew at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11
and
12,
and if
you
really
knew
think
all
about
that
it,
time that you needed to say something.
And once you get married, it becomes a level of comfortability. You're comfortable with your spouse. And what happens is, okay, if you don't say anything, you know, you're looking at yourself, oh, I done gained a couple pounds. Oh, she's still rubbing on me. I'm still sitting in the house. She's still with me. She's not going out anywhere. So you get a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? It becomes a level of comfortability. And a lot of people that I talk to and everything lead a lot on their marriage vows. They lead a lot on when they say for better or for worse, for richer or poor, when you get married in the eyes of God, it's supposed to be forever, they use that. So it becomes a level of comfortability for a lot of people. And they say, well, you know what? You know, we got married. You know, those true Christians, you know, we got married in the eyes of God. If he's that true Christian, he's going to stick with me no matter what I look like, whether it be 2 years from now, 5 years, 10 years, 50, whatever the case may be. It's a level of comfortability once you get in the marriage. And that's how I ended up the way that I am. You know what I mean? I was going to college eating fast foods. You know, that was easy for me. But I see myself today, and I don't like the way that I look. But
well,
my wife
you know
is comfortable
what?
With me.
I agree with you because I ran into that exact problem. Only thing is it wasn't based on looks. It was more of a behavior thing. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. And my wife just leaned on it. Like, you know, I can do whatever, let myself go and just act however I want to. And it's going to be all good because we're married and it's, you know, for better, for worse. And biblically speaking, there's no reason to get divorced other than infidelity. So,
I
understand that 100%.
Just touching on that, you know, from the topic itself, when does your marriage become from a fantasy to a reality? You know, when you're doing the courting, that's your fantasy. When you become married, that's your reality. So now you are comfortable. You see what I'm saying? I mean, this is, you know, we have to attack that topic right there.
Your fantasy is when you were courting your girl. You did all, like you said, my man said earlier, you go get your hair cut, you throw in your best gear, you throw in your best smell goods. You're courting this lady.
And then in the marriage, you encourage in a room,
you
shoot
the
look.
What you just,
but the other part.
But what you just said about that fantasy, and that's it, what you just said, that the courting is the fantasy, but when you're taking them vows, that's when it's real.
That's when it's real.
Sitting up here still fantasizing. When you if you still taking your vows as a fantasy, for better or for worse, if you taking it as a for better or for worse, I'm gonna marry a girl and for worse, now she decides she don't want to work no more. She want to become Whitney Houston back in the day and smoking crack and everything. But I'm supposed to love you anyway. That's a fantasy. The truth of the matter is, when it becomes a marriage, for better or for worse, it's not a fantasy anymore. For better
it's
or for
not,
worse, providing you
not.
Don't.
Because if you're looking at your wife now and she's that 10, or she's going to, you know, she might become that 12, you might have another child, she may become that, you know, 14 or whatnot. Is she raising your family the way that you want your family to be raised?
I think it's the same person. And I think where we got to come to, I watch Whitney Houston talking to Oprah, and the whole time she was talking about what Bobby did. But she was like, he was an alcoholic, but I smoke crack. Like, his problem was worse than mine. You get what I'm saying? And I think what we're doing is pissing on the lady, saying that their problem is worse than ours, when for real we just need to take a look at ourselves and look at the things that's causing division in our homes. If a size is causing division in our homes, but for me, I went from a 36 to a 42. I started tailoring clothes that I hide my discomforts and my dislikes.
Right. Right. You're absolutely right.
And that's why I got to chime in here.
Go ahead, Bang.
Let me say one more thing, and that's why your wife got a closet full of clothes that's four sizes different.
Let's stop on that one real quick about the four sizes. Because we put our pressure on them that, okay, she'll look and say, I can get back down to that. Instead of getting into reality is, I might not get back into that, so I need to donate that. But my only question is to think about this, and I do say this. I understand what your brother is saying, but when does it become that your wife is your wife, and, you know, you're a lifelong partner, not your eye candy for the rest of the neighborhood?
That's it. I got to say something here, man. Wait a second.
That's a reality.
Okay? Here's the bottom line, okay? First of all, one thing that really works for me is, you know, I've got a wife, but I've got a girlfriend, okay?
Back that up.
And
play
it. I do.
He's going to explain it.
I got a girlfriend. All right, she's my girl. She's not just my wife. She's my girlfriend. Okay, and I still to this day treat her as my girlfriend. Okay, and we date and we play and we have a wonderful time. And I am just in love with my girlfriend. She knows. First of all, my profession, I deal with senior citizens almost all day. I'm a hearing specialist, and most of my patients are seniors. All right. If you guys think that your girl ain't going to change, you are really living in fantasy.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm
and the depth of love goes beyond what you see. And the truth, and the sad thing, what I'm hearing here, of course, that's the initial attraction. We are physically attracted, okay? But if it doesn't go beyond that, if you're making statements like, well, you know what, a 10's okay, boy, but if she hits 14, there's going to be issues. There's a deeper issue. If your woman and your wife loves you and you love her, you know, it's going to be more than, we're all going to put some pounds on. We're going to lose a little hair off the top. We're going to get rounder in the middle. All that kind of, it's going to happen. I see it every day in my practice. And I'm telling you that you've got to develop a deeper level of love. The physical attractiveness is important. We're men like that. You know, but you know what? It's so much deeper than that.
I gotta ask you this. gotta ask you this. I have to. Is your wife your girlfriend when y'all arguing, or is she your wife?
Ask this question. Girlfriends and boyfriends argue too.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think that all husbands and wives argue, but what I'm saying is, she's my lady. You know what? If you're ever around us, you'll never see her open the car door. Okay? Because that's my job. That's my girl. I'm going to treat her with honor and respect. It doesn't matter that she gained a few pounds. I mean, I love her anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay?
That's
now,
a good point, bro.
Now, the thing is, she understands that. And because she understands that I love her no matter what, okay, that I'm going to be there no matter what, if she gains, you know, she probably gained 30-some pounds. Okay, no, she's 106. She gained a lot more than that, okay? But the bottom line is she knows I love her, and because of that, she knows what attracts me, and she wants to be that.
Hey, let me ask you a question. When you open that door for her.
What attracts me. But if she didn't, it wouldn't matter to me. Somebody else was saying, you know, their wife is a 10 and they're trying to get back. That's the way my wife is. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Okay?
Let me ask you a question,
though. I love her.
When you open the back door for her and you get around to the other side,
woman
is the other side already open?
This has deeper issues.
Oh, listen.
A lot deeper issues than just the weight.
Gentlemen.
Issues are deeper than just putting on some pounds or some things. Number one, she needs to know that we're going to be there no matter what.
Okay, good words. Gentlemen, hold on a second. We've got a lot of people on the call, so can we pace our comments just to a minimum? Because I hear other voices, but other people aren't getting heard. So, Bino, I think you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with what he just said. I had a few things I wanted to share, but I just wanted to, since he was sharing on that about, you know, that's his job to open the door. And, I mean, really, in a funny way, but in a real way, I was going to ask the gentleman, you know, he said that's his job to open up the door, which ain't nothing wrong with that, but I was going to ask him, once he opens up the door and gets her seated, by the time he gets around to the other side, is his door open?
Is my door open?
Well, in this day and time, with the key to the entry, all the doors open.
If my door, all the doors unlocked.
So you get around. You set her hand, and you come around and unlock your door and get in.
I have a remote, and I hit a button, and all the doors.
That's what I said. This day and time, everything is open.
I understand something. That is not because it's required. It's just when I got married. Okay, and I don't know if any of y'all have been through difficult divorces or what, I understood that my wife was a blessing from God. And me honoring her, it was me honoring God. Okay? And whatever I did unto her was I was worshiping him to honor his daughter that he gave to me. Okay? And I have two daughters. All right? And I will tell you this. You know, I meet with all the little dudes that are running around sniffing around. Okay? And if a guy dishonors my daughter, I'm going to be really upset. One of the conversations I have with each little guy that comes in here, I say, you know, this is my baby girl, right? He goes, yes, sir. I said, you
know,
I love
her,
right? He says,
fellas,
yes,
we got to get back on
topic. Then I say, you know, I love her to death.
Yes.
Okay? You understand, right? Now, that's how I look at my wife. This is God's daughter. Okay, if I dishonor her, I'm dishonoring him. All right, and that's
right.
That's how I look at it. And I'll tell you what, if my wife says to me at 2 in the morning, which she does sometimes, honey, could you get me a glass of water? Okay, to me,
right, let's
honoring God to get up and do that.
Andrew, hold on a second, fellas. We're getting way too far off topic. We need to get back up to the topic from the fantasy.
This is another monkey wrench.
This is
fantasy
to reality. So,
I'm sorry,
fellas, let me throw this
Devon,
out there.
This is Devon. I just want to say one more thing, and then I have to
go
off here. A couple of weeks ago, you guys had the topic of, pornography and things like that, you know, being in the home and whatnot. And from this fantasy to reality and
you know, this, to me, this is a serious topic because, you know, with everything going from media and today's culture and how a lot of things are being portrayed on TV, we have to kind of, you know, making a difference between a fantasy and a reality. And this is, you know, my fantasy was my wife. Now she is my reality. And the thing of it is if you don't start treating your wife, I mean, you know, this, we are all Christians. If we don't start treating our wives as a reality and the woman that she is and the mother that she is and how she's raising our family, then things like our fantasy before we got married leads into that pornography phase where we want our wives to look like what we were looking at on screens or wherever the case may be. So, you know, just having to deal with that fact from fantasy to reality, because I was in that mode. I did that mode. I did want to share something that was real, though.
If this being on here,
good
I
words,
to share one
good
thing.
Words.
That was real good, good right there. But that puts us back on track again, because I was on joke time about the car door. But I was going to say, what I wanted to say that was real nice, that meant something to me, is I listened to everybody talk for a long time. And I was going to say, I'm almost 50 years old. And I've always, all my life, always wanted to keep me a classy woman next to me. Always. I could not settle for less. But once you love somebody, once you fall in love and you really know that that's the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and you say I do to that person, and you know that that's how you feel, you look beyond all those things. You look beyond everything. She can gain a few pounds. She could do a lot of things that are different, but you're always going to look straight into her eyes and see she speaks to her like a tunnel because you love her. It ain't gonna never change. I don't care. You know, I heard somebody say, well, you know, if she's 12 now and she get a 14, well, you know, I'm gonna have to, you know, reconsider, you know, or whatever they were saying to that nature. But you ain't gonna never change when you really love somebody. When you love somebody, you love them.
Yeah,
and that's the way God loves you.
That's a good word.
I agree. I was waiting for someone.
Rodney, go ahead, Rodney. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's that I've been waiting for someone to say. How I feel, and I was hoping someone else kind of felt the same way about their wife, because I heard a lot of the kind of back and forth about what if she gains this, if she gains that, will I like her? I might have a problem with this. I'm going to have a problem with this, but kind of hit it. But I'm gonna try to drive what he was saying home is that we're talking about fantasy to reality, but for me and my wife, my reality is my fantasy. I mean, I love my wife. I don't know if everyone feels the same way about this. To whatever extent, that better or worse means a whole lot to me. It meant a whole lot to me when I get married. I didn't get married very young, so I wasn't very naive or ignorant. I knew exactly what I was getting into. I knew exactly what the vows meant. You know, I was in the church. I understand the commitment that God makes on a husband and wife, and so I understood that. And I heard someone say, you know, something about, you know, she stops getting a pedicure or stops getting manicured and she's gaining some pounds or whatever. Well, let me flip the script back on the fellas, because yes, okay, you're out there and you know you at the LA Fitness, you at the Bally's, and you running around the whole neighborhood and showing off your chest and your underarm and all that other stuff, and that's well and good. However, maybe she stopped doing the pedicure stuff because you stopped taking her anywhere that she really needed to show off anything. Maybe she stopped gaining some pounds because she hadn't really been on the dance floor in a little while. She hadn't had to put on that dress in a while. Because once women start putting on them pants and stuff like that and realize they're getting a little tight, they start getting self-conscious about how they look. So maybe we got to do a self-check on ourselves and say, well, okay, man, am I taking you anywhere that you really need to get your nails done or get your toes done or get your body in shape, make you at least conscious of how you're starting to look? Am I doing my part? Forget about her part. We always go back full circle about the roles of a husband and wife, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what she does as a wife, you still got the obligations to be in the responsibilities as a husband.
Okay. Right.
Yep, you're right.
All right, and I'd like to chime in right there where you say fantasy to reality. My wife, my mother-in-law at my wife's age looked just like my wife. If you saw a picture, you would actually think it was her, except for you would know that based on the coloration of the picture that it was actually in the 70s. But my wife, my mother-in-law, doesn't look anything like my wife now. My mother-in-law, my wife wears a 6'8", my mother-in-law wears a 22. But my reality is my wife will soon be that woman. And I'm not I'm not rolling out at that time. My reality is I had to come to grips and say, you know what, even if she come that woman, the woman I married wasn't, and we talking about biblically, it says charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord deserves to be praised.
Amen.
So gravity is going to take all, every single one of our ladies.
And us too, brother, and us too.
Yeah.
I ain't heard nobody say
well, you
that.
Know, but see, here's the other side of that, with it taking us too. My thing is, we talked about this a couple calls back. You know, I'm not going to arrange that meeting until it's that time.
You're right.
So until then, I'm going to work very hard and be disciplined to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, again, so that I can take care of my home, my wife, and my children. Ultimately, all I'm saying is that within this whole fantasy to reality, do we have to speed up the process? You know, right now, being at early in a marriage, I'm 30 years old, my wife is 28. We don't need to speed that up. Life is going to come at you. You know that whole commercial, Allstate or whatever, State Farm, life comes at you fast?
Yes,
it does. But we don't need to speed it up. So
all right, let me ask you a question.
Look, Rick, talking.
Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead.
I've been listening. I ain't said nothing the whole night. I've been on here since it started. Now, you're right. Life does come at you fast. I'm 49, and Damone and Hulk both know me. I ain't out of shape. But I don't care how hard you work out. Eventually, you're going to be who you are, and your wife is too. But if you love her, and love, I'm talking about the love of going through 13 years with my wife, or her going through thick and thin with each other, and she goes and works out mainly because she know I like her to work out. I never asked her, but she just picked up one, and she goes to the gym. But at the same time, if I love my wife no matter what.
Amen.
I don't care if she get to be 300 pounds. I love my wife because ain't no other woman going to put up with the stuff she done put up with for 13 years of me and do the things she do. And if you love each other, you're going to do what it takes to keep each other. But at the same time, I don't care how hard you work out. Life will come, and you're going to start getting a little about to run your midsection. And that's just how it is.
Amen.
But
okay,
I love
okay.
my wife, you know. And it's the thing where I guess, like you say, beauty is fleeting. I don't care how good a woman look. I don't care how good we think we look. Eventually, age and time will take care of all that.
Yep.
Let's talk
about
reality real
quick. My aunt and uncle been married for 67 years. Both of them 91. My aunt is a month older than my uncle. And both of them old and wrinkled, but they still love each other.
Man.
That comes from 67 years of being with each other.
Yep.
Good. Now that thing there.
Can I throw another monkey wrench in, fellas? Can I just throw one monkey wrench? I just got another one. Somebody told me to put this monkey wrench. I got through that. I didn't hear anybody on the call tonight saying that if their wife gained X amount of weight that they would leave their wife. So I don't think that's the issue here. I think the issue is what somebody was talking about is that the wife's responsibility to try to contain her weight. That may be a question, too. But let's just say the wife just says, okay, well, you know, because of the kids or whatever the case may be, not health issues, but just other issues, I'm not going to contain my weight. Now, is she still sexy for you? Is it to the point where you still want to passionately make love to your wife, or you'll be like,
No, she's not.
I mean, let's be real with it.
Well, right. Being real with it, the reason why she's not still sexy is because it goes back to the whole concept. Because now you just blatantly just have a disregard for the whole concept of being accountable for your actions and bringing things to the table in this relationship. You know what I like. And this is how I would take it. I'm going to look at it personally. You know what I like, and I'm your husband, and I've expressed to you what I like. And this is different from, you know, oh, you know my favorite meal, or you rented my favorite movie tonight, we're going to watch it. This is a step up from that. You know what I like. So if you blatantly take a disregard for that, I'm taking the shit personal because I'm basically saying, wait a minute. Now, we worked through this. We've talked about it. I'm making sure that I'm honoring you and opening doors and providing and going to work every day and bringing home the checks and making sure that this is doing and you doing things too. But I'm still going above and beyond. I need you to do the same thing. So there's going to be some discrepancies there because I'm taking it personal.
Okay.
You know what? You know what I like to say about that? Real quick. Last week, and I'm addressing you too, brother. Last week I was doing this book, and it asked me, and I'm listening to you as a man, and that's how I classify myself by what I do. You know, I'm providing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and my wife was asking a question, and through the book it asked me a question. and said, how do you know that you love this person that you're talking about? And the only thing that I can really put on paper that the reason why I know that I love my wife is because of superficial things.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. It was superficial. It's because I come and I pay the bills and I do this and I do that. But it was nothing dealing with her at all, meaning intimately with her. So if my wife is really dealing with a self-esteem issue, my job as a head of household is to go in and help her, not perpetuate her self-esteem issue by gripping on her because she getting beat, or not perpetuating it by showing my dislikes by her getting big. But my job as head of household is to go in and aid her with her self-esteem. I can't call her fat when I know she got a self-esteem issue on fat. I have to be the support group against her depression that I can pull her out of. And the same thing with me. My mother always bought me a suit when I got sick, so I want my wife to bring me suit when I get sick. I don't want her to be like, oh, you can't take care of yourself, or you just gonna sit there like a baby and cry. No, I need your help.
Yeah,
I don't need your sarcasm. And that's the same thing in turn we got to give to them.
But I don't think anyone originally up front comes at it that way. I don't think any of us would. And many of us on this call, I've never gotten to that point of saying somebody's fat or anything like that. But I'm just saying that you take it personally after a while, specifically when you come at it nice. You come at it the correct way. You're not acting a monkey about it. You're not acting wild. You're not arguing about it. You're just talking about it nicely. You're being encouraging. But at some point, when you just blatantly say, I'm not going to do this, or you have a million excuses and reasons and things that just don't I don't have the time for that. I just don't have the time for that because you can do it. You know,
if we flip the script and she comes to you and say, you're not doing it like you used to,
then I'm going to work harder to do it just like I used to. That's the bottom line.
No, you're
the way I was brought up.
Is that not
going to
no, you're not.
I'm not going to work harder to do it like I used to.
That
why wouldn't
true.
I wouldn't work
that
harder like I used to for my wife, the person that I love, and if this is what she's telling me that she needed, I would continue to work hard. I'm not going to blatantly say I'm not going to do it.
Patrice, what are you talking about? Do it. What are you talking about?
I mean, there's probably times in relationships where, you know, you may want to have sex, and she may not want to have sex at times. So, but both of you do it just to do it. Or there may be some times where, as men, you slip up a little early and you fall asleep.
So you're saying? So listen, hear me out. You're saying when your wife is an 8, when you marry her, and
mm-hmm.
now she's a 12. She looks different. You're saying that you have the same sexual attraction to her?
Nope. I sure don't.
I do.
Yeah,
that's my wife.
See, fellas, I think what we're getting confused though, it has nothing to do with me not loving her. The question was, are you still attracted? Do you still want to have sex with her? It's not, do you love her? And that's why I think everyone's getting caught up in the, I love my
exactly.
wife. Yes, we got that. We get it. Yes, we all love our
right.
wives. We love our girlfriends or what the woman that I like. We love them. But the point is that are you still going to want to have sex with somebody that's jumped from an 8 to a 12 and has jumped from being attractive to unattractive? Now, that's a real question. Is everybody going to be honest with that one?
Right. The reality, what you're saying is, what it sounds like to me, this conversation is going to, we love them to a default. Meaning
right.
we love them to a default. If you're an 8, I'm gonna keep loving you.
We love you to a size.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying. I get what I'm saying. What he's saying, I think, is basically, yeah, you may love them and the emotion be there, but as long as you keep your eyes closed, it has nothing to do with you being emotionally involved. But it's
right.
physically, you're not attracted to them.
Right.
That has nothing
to
do with
them. Did I hear the question wrong? Because the way the question got posed was, are you still gonna want to have sex? Are you still gonna be attracted to your woman?
That has nothing to
do with love.
That's not love, right?
Are you only attracted by her physical appearance?
That's
right.
an important part of it.
Right.
That's a very important part of it.
You can shut
your
eyes.
When it comes to
your
physical relationship,
she gets older.
When it comes to your physical relationship,
you're going to just keep trading her in for younger models.
Wait a minute, what?
I think she's going to change as she gets older, and she can't control all the changes. And if that's all you're looking for, you're just going to keep trading her in for younger models.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
No, but I think you did at 22. We're not talking about the extreme, fellas. Let's stop taking it to the extreme. We're just talking about what happens, how we would deal with this thing. You know what I'm saying? Is it something that she is it her responsibility to at least try to maintain that? And how do we help her with that responsibility? And is she still attractive if that doesn't happen to us? I mean, it's just an honest question.
Your phone is messing up, Tony. You need to
your
check
phone is messing up.
What's attracting you. Is it just the physical? Is there something deeper? We are attracted physically, all right? And if our wives, if there's issues in the relationship where she says, I don't care what I look like, it's got a whole lot more to do with other issues than her trying to be physically attractive. If she's taking that tact with you, then there's something wrong in the relationship.
Yeah, I do believe that is true.
Okay,
I think
because if she is taking that, hey, I don't care what I look like, you know, boom, boom, boom.
But have you answered the question?
Right, so let me answer
you haven't answered the question.
Would I be physically attracted to my wife?
No, I probably
would from a 6
let me,
to 12. I probably wouldn't.
Okay, let me answer the question. I believe, you know, the word tells us that we have to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. We're not beating down our wives, and I'm not saying anyone, sounded like they were. But we don't beat down our wives. We don't tell them they're getting fat. Tell them they're getting ugly. Tell them they got two inches too big on their waist or things of that nature. Each one of us individually has to look at our own relationship because each one of our wives are different. I know Tony's wife is Hispanic. My wife is Hispanic. Some other brothers got sisters. Some other brothers might have a Caucasian girl or what have you, whatever it is. Everyone's going to be raised in different households, brought up different, have different ideals, and so on and so on and so on. So you have to know the relationship that you're in. You have to know what's best for your wife. I know I couldn't come at my wife and say, you know what, baby, you need to lose some weight. I'm concerned about you and this, that. That's not the way I could approach mine. Now, you might be able to approach yours that way, and you're fine with that type of raw, I guess, relationship that you and your wife have. However, everyone on the call might not be that way. Other men have to go at it a different way. They have to be smarter. They can't just be the more correct. And it's not anything wrong or right. It's just, well, maybe it is because it's wrong or right for your relationship, but it's not wrong or right in general for everyone's relationship. So everyone really needs to evaluate their own relationship. Each one of us know our own spouses. We know how we have to approach them, and that's how we have to go about it. Like I said, maybe it's as simple as starting to take them out where you wasn't taking them out before and them starting to recognize, you know what, I'm not fitting into some of that stuff that I was wearing when we was courting because we was going out every night or every weekend or something like that. Now I'm realizing now that we haven't been going out, now you want to go back out, I'm looking in the closet. I can't fit any of that stuff anymore. I didn't even realize how big I was getting. That might be her mindset. So in someone else's relationship, they may be like, I heard the brother say, you know, he's jogging around the neighborhood, he's doing the exercise, and he's been a leader in that regard, an example to his household, and maybe she cleaves to that, and she starts realizing that, hey, maybe I ought to go out with you, baby. Let me walk out with you. Let me do this. Let me do that. Somebody else, it might be just blunt, you know, honesty and say, babe, you know what, you're stretching. You're getting a little too big or whatever, and she takes that and she runs with it. But however it works, I think all of us, to alleviate some of the maybe the over-talking and some of the maybe forcefulness of our comment, is that we have to realize to each his own. And everybody, as long as you're not obviously abusing the individual in your household, however you deal with your wife, you have to deal with your wife, not me, not the other brothers on the phone.
Yeah, that's great words, and I think you know, it's a great summary. And what we haven't talked about, what we kind of glossed over, we spent a lot of time on the physical appearance and the weight changing and up and down and all that. But I know we have some single brothers on the call that would like to know: does the sex change after marriage? And I think we need to take that route. And I'll go ahead and start it off to say, you know, when you're married, you know, you're jumping off the top rope, swinging from the chandelier, you know, all that good stuff, and then your honeymoon is over. So, No, that was a joke. But I throw that out to the group, you know, for the single brothers, you know, that are out there or not married or whatever. They, you know, everybody's like, does the sex change, man? It's like somebody speak on that piece and let's talk about that a little bit before it gets too late.
Well, I think, you know, I'll go ahead and say a little bit, then I'll be quiet and listen. I would say that it probably does change because the whole concept of the things that go into a relationship, which is now at a new level, which is the marriage, it takes on a new form. And I think a lot of times women have a crazy illusion of what a marriage actually looks like and the things that are expected or things that are going into it. And what ends up happening is they take more things on. You know, before, you know, it wasn't two sets of, you know, it wasn't maybe two car notes. It wasn't, you know, thinking about medical and health for an entire family. It wasn't cleaning up a house or cleaning up the kids and doing these things. It wasn't doing a lot of different things. So ultimately, there's more roles that they take on. So as they take on the more roles, there's less and less time or energy for us with regards to the way that it was before we got married. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think, you know, without communication, it can become a thorn in your side.
That's good words. Well, and the communication piece is key because I think we mentioned one time on the call, have you ever talked to your wife and said, well, I need it about 3-4 times a week?
Right.
I mean, have you ever communicated that to her? Or you expect her to just the mind read and say, okay, it's been a couple of days, it's time to give him some. I mean, you have to communicate and articulate. We need to come together at least once a week, babe. I mean, you have to communicate that to you because I mean, she may think that, oh, he's over there. I'm cool. I don't even feel like it tonight. So I mean, you have to articulate where you are in this thing, and that may have changed. You know, as Peyton was saying that, you know, with the bills and the kids and the work and the running and all that good stuff, you may not want it 3-4 times a week, but I think you have to communicate that and then, you know, come to some compromise so that, you know, she know what you expect in the bedroom, and you know what she, you know, and vice versa.
I think from my experience, things do change. The deeper love is a much deeper commitment when it's a spiritual thing with the two of you. But the biggest thing for me is that I think that women need to understand that we want to be desired also. Okay. It needs to go both ways. It can't just be, you know, always one person initiating. Okay, we have to feel wanted. If not, you know, if it's just sex, it's two dogs humping in the yard. All right, and if anybody's had that, you know, you feel very unfulfilled. Okay, yeah, you bust one off, but what's that? So if you don't have anything deeper than just that, then it's going to be unfulfilling no matter how much sex you have.
Yep.
You know, there's got to be a deeper commitment and a deeper, something deeper than just sex.
Intimacy. You're talking about
intimacy. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know, as men, we get validation from sex.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times women don't understand that, okay? And, you know, to her it may not be that big a deal, but to us, if we're not being desired, we feel less than a man.
Mm-hmm. And that sure will cause you to start looking everywhere else.
Hey, we'll piggybacking off of part
and
of
that's
that,
how,
though.
And that's how Satan gets into the marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big deal. If
and on
we
that
can't,
right there.
We can't explain to our wives, and they can't understand how important it is for us to feel desired and wanted, okay, you know, that's a lacking, that's a need for most men.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what you're saying. My situation, I'm sure, is probably different than most guys on this phone, I'm guessing. But, you know, my wife and I, we didn't have sex before we got married. And, you know, unfortunately, after we got, well, she knew and we knew before we got married that she had a condition. We just didn't know what the effect was because we never had sex before we got married. And come to find out that sex was just very, very, very unpleasant for her. So we started off in marriage. I mean, it was probably a couple of weeks before we ever even had sex, you know. And going forward, when we did have sex, I mean, she was crying and pulling away and all kinds of other stuff. So what he's saying in terms of, you know, being, you know, not wanting to base your relationship on sex, you definitely don't want to do that. But then you got the whole issue of, you know, being validated by sex, which was, it created a huge problem. I mean, that was, you talk about just issues. That was crazy.
Yeah, and I've actually heard about that. They had a story on the news about that. Women, I think it was on ABC, but that's really deep, bro.
How do you overcome that?
I mean, I don't know that you can, man, because I'm like, yeah, my wife looks great. Started off looking great, got married, and she's still looking great. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, definitely attracted to her. But the thing is, and like I always said, you know, when we're having sex, it's like I'm raping you. I feel like between the crying and the pulling away, it's just, we never found, at this point, we're separated. You know, it's definitely not just because of that. We had other issues in our relationship, but bottom line, it's not something we were ever able to get around.
Wow. Well, I will say, you know, I've been with my wife for 25 years, married, and people always ask, how can you stay with the same woman as long? And one thing about their relationship is, yes, it's been a long time, but if both of you are working it correctly, then the sex can get greater and better as you grow with one another. To somebody's point earlier is that even if the body goes, which my wife's hasn't, and still I'm one that was very superficial with that, but thankfully hers hasn't. But you know what? The love is there, and we go through things, but yet and still, I love her. And I will tell you, if she were to get larger or whatever, to somebody's point earlier, I love her. And that means at some point, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to change my thinking because I can't think the way I used to when I was 18 or 25 or even 30. And now if she changes or if I'm changing, one of us has to change our mindset about the issue. Because you ain't going to be happy unless you do. You're going to have to find a way to deal with it because there ain't no divorce and there is no going outside of the marriage. So that means I have to change. Now, that's one thing. And to just look at the sexual attractiveness of your spouse, there's more to it than that because I'm going to tell you, I'd invested some time into getting my wife the way I need her to be, and she's invested some time to get me to be how she wants me to be in the bedroom. And I just can't jump back in there with just some anybody.
Right.
You know, she got to know how to throw down for me and vice versa. So it's more than just the physical attractiveness, even though that plays a part. But I don't want to be with a dime, and a dime can't do nothing in the bed.
Yeah, you told the truth on that one.
Good point.
Good word.
I get my
good
words out.
Wow, good work.
Good on that one.
Very good words on that one.
You done shut us up for a minute, huh, fellas?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but isn't that the part of men and household, and that's the part of marriage is to grow?
Exactly.
And
what
that's
about?
And that just kind of summarizes it all. It's that growth. It's that we're going to have to continue to work with it, fellas, you know.
And one of the things I wanted to pull out of that was how you say y'all cultivating y'all relationship. And when you say merge sex, I mean, you know, do sex change after merge, I think it's how you cultivate it. You know, you can listen to people say, man, I had a dude tell me you're going to get it twice a year once you get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that was in his house, that's the way he wanted it. Maybe that's when he pruned his garden twice a year. Sex. What I found out later is once you understand who you are, just like we talk about physical is just our first level of love. We're physical, they're emotional, but then they get to a physical point too, and then we got to get to an emotional point. So I think if like me, I was never taught how to. I was taught by my phallus. I was taught by how much work I put in. That's what validated me. I don't get sex in my bed. I get sex in the kitchen. And if I'm not romancing in the kitchen, I can't expect nothing to come in the bedroom. You get what I'm saying? Now, me, I'm physical. I can get in the bed, she walk through, get out the shower, she naked, it's on. But I ain't said nothing to her all day. You get what I'm saying? To bring her to that point.
You got to do what you're saying. You got to make a deposit in order to get a withdrawal.
Did he say
you got to make a deposit to the brain?
That's right. I watched Dr. Oz yesterday, and the lady put on the paper. The lady put on the paper. She said, "What's your wife?" She said, "Rate your wife's body parts. How you stimulate her?" With the number.
Yeah.
You know the ladies. All the ladies had brain as their most stimulating part.
Yep. I saw that.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be licking the titties. I'd be. I'm trying to get that dumb nipple to get hard. But that joint won't get hard because I ain't said nothing to the brain.
You ain't put a deposit in.
You haven't
sat there and listened to the stories of the day.
Yeah.
You didn't connect.
And you better not have shot her a look or, encouraged her to run.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's how you cultivate it. That's my point. How you cultivate it, that's what you're going to get. If you ain't cultivating it, don't expect. If once you cultivate it, it's not sex anymore. It's now love.
Yeah,
I'll
say this, not to cut you off, brother. I'll say that this is just a tie back to what we were talking about earlier, is that when a woman is exercising, she releases endorphins, and they get her stimulated. So, I tell my wife, go run on a treadmill. Don't you want to run on a treadmill? And when she's done, she's like, oh, man, I'm amped. I'm ready. So it does something for them. It releases the endorphins, and they feel good about themselves. And, they may not have lost a pound or anything while they exercise, but they feel better. And then, when it's time, they're like, yeah, I'm feeling good about myself. I just worked out for 30 minutes or whatever. So, that working out piece just is a time back. Might get, release some of them endorphins and, might get the sexual stimulation going.
Wow.
Let me twist this just for a second and jump off of the weight, the sex, and shift to another aspect of this head of household call, which was the finance. So when we talk about fantasy, we talk about reality.
I'm
going
to have
fantasy.
To back out, guys. I'm going to catch you next week.
Okay. Yeah, somebody's got a speakerphone or a Bluetooth or something on, too.
Right.
Something's going on with the background. Thank you.
But just real quick on the fantasy and the reality of the finances and what we thought maybe getting a second income now is two incomes now. We can do twice as much. And then reality set in with some of the bills and maybe the kids and so on and so on and so on. In some points it might have been struggles, and maybe other people on the phone can't identify with that at all, and that's probably a good thing. But nonetheless, the finances can play a big part. Obviously, there's two big reasons on divorce in this country in particular, and even within the church is infidelity and then finances. So it's obviously a big point in relationships and marriage that needs to be addressed. And I think we've addressed finances to some degree on other calls, but in terms of this one, from reality, from fantasy to reality, has anyone, I guess the question is, has anyone had to deal with a real hard wall of reality when they got into a relationship in terms of finances? Was your woman spending a whole lot, or did you decide to start spending a lot? I don't know what the extreme would have been.
Yeah, I think finances has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
We say that, it's other issues too, but I think if the finances also goes astray, we can also get from that that fantasy life to reality. And it's also, like, let's just say when I met my wife, she showed me something, a person that was strong in business, which she is. She painted a picture, and once we got married, I saw that picture wasn't the same. She painted me a picture of bringing finances to the table,
which wasn't a requirement, but that's just something that she showed me on her own. Okay, well, I'm independently financial and blah, 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 and I got this and I got that, and this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm moving towards. And once we got married, it was a situation where, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know my role, but what I saw in the beginning really wasn't that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
then I was in a situation where it's like, okay, she painted this picture of this person that would actually do, you know, she's already on her own financially stable. So anything I can bring to the table will be even that much more.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got into the mix, it was like, okay, I don't see this person anymore.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying?
No,
I don't see this person anymore. And I'm like, it's not really a big issue because, again, I know my roles and I know what I have to do as head of the household, but it's still somewhat of a letdown when you find out that a picture was painted.
Right.
That picture was painted.
I had the same type of experience where someone was telling me, as I was planning on getting married, that they were telling me, oh, you know, they were already married, and they were saying, oh, well, let me help you plan this out, because if you think about it, you have the two incomes, and we put the money together on paper, and she was like, well, you can get this BMW, she could have herself this, you guys will have a nice, you know, house and everything like that. And I'm like you when we got married and you know, I'm putting all the bills and stuff on paper. And the fantasy was, at the time of courting, I wasn't calculating everything that she had. She was bringing with her. So I'm thinking, oh, it's just another income. I'm fooling myself. And then when coming into the relationship, writing down all the bills and say, okay, so what? She's okay, here. I said, oh, okay, well, so it's not that much. Oh, well, don't forget this one. Okay, so, well, at least it's a couple. No, don't forget this one. And it's like, oh, okay, so reality hit for me. And the difference between money, obviously, and we're talking about sex, or you know, I'm not saying to do it, but and if the sex isn't there and you have a fantasy, you can run to the porn shop, or you can run to the strip club, or you can run. There's outlets, so to speak, that you could run. Again, I'm not endorsing any of that stuff, but nonetheless. But when it comes to finances, you're not going to just run out and grab some more money.
That's
just
reality.
Is
that's
there.
Right.
Hey, well, let me hit you from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I got married, and we were not quite on the same level when it came to, I mean, just spiritually. And the one thing I had to get used to that was hard, especially as a banker, was she just, I mean, without fail, tied 10% of her gross paycheck and expected me to do the same and went beyond that. I mean, it was tithes and offerings. So I'm telling you, you know, to have to give up 10% of your paycheck. You know, I was at the time one of those people going to church, be like, okay, well, it's $20. You know, I'm doing something. Man, it had to go from that to paying hundreds of dollars out for tithes. I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, I'm, as a banker, I'm thinking this is not adding up. You know,
thinking you're in the wrong business.
Oh man, it was tough. It was tough. Yeah, that took some getting used to. So,
you know, when I listen to all the different areas that we talked about tonight, you know, with, you know, fantasy to reality, you know, it seems in some aspects what ends up happening, gentlemen, is we meet a lot of representatives, but then we actually see the real person when we get in it. And that sometimes is difficult, you know, and I think that's why I compared it for us, for the brothers on the call that are single, to encourage y'all, you got to communicate. You have to talk. I mean, I know I say some things sometimes that are comical and things like that, but within that comedy is some seriousness with regards to needing to communicate and really stress what it is that you're looking for, because a lot of times, or what your expectations are, or where you want to go, you know, most of us have goals or 5-10 year plans, you know, dreams, want to retire, got the 401ks going, stuff like that. You need to put in to your relationship just like you're doing with everything else. You got to have that communication, because if you don't, all these things are going to speed up that reality coming a lot faster than anticipated. You know, if you're expecting things in the bedroom, or you're wanting to do this, you know, women are not shy with telling you what their talents are. Well, if you're talented at working out in the bedroom, then you need to let her know that's one of your talents and you like to display it 2 to 3, 4, 5 times a week. That's what you need to do.
My man.
That's my talent.
Yeah, you made a good point by saying that you know that she's a we're dealing with the representative, but you know the representative does represent the definition is one that represents another, so and it's almost like in government a politician represents his constituents, and I think that that just because we're dealing with the representative doesn't mean that it's a necessarily a bad thing, because I mean she still is she's a good representative of the real deal. It's like once those other things go away, it's like she's still pretty good once things change. But I think that just because she's a not the full fledged, not the wife that we see when we're dating them, that we just see the representative. I mean, we really can't say that it's like a night and day, hopefully in not a lot of cases.
Well, let me add this to your point, because if you're saying it's okay to have that representative, just remember that you represent two.
Right.
And both of those representatives, the truth come out, may not be compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying? And so that's why it's better to deal with the truth. Or at least if they're going to be a representative, you know that they just front. You know that's the way they are, and you know that you can deal with that. And I can put up with that or just handle that in the relationship. But when it comes to that money like that, now, like Rodney said, you can't get no more money coming up in there.
But I'll say this too about the representative is that, I learned it in my marital counseling, the pastor that married us is like, you need to take that flaw, whatever she has that you don't like, and magnify it 10 times.
Yep.
Then examine. He's like, man, can I handle her leaving her socks in the middle of the floor every time, she take them off? It's like she's going to leave now 10 pair of socks in the floor. It's like if you can't accept the magnification of those flaws, then you don't need to be married. He put it out there. He's like, if you can't handle it, you might as well just walk away now, because
that's
it is going to get worse and it's going to bother you more.
Yep.
That's right. It's not going to change. Yeah, my mama put that on me.
Yeah.
Before I even sat down with the pastor, mama said that to me. I knew she had a smart mouth, so the smart mouth is still here and then some. That's my kryptonite.
Mine too,
brother.
Amen to that 3 times.
That's what I'm carrying around.
Oh, boy. That's good. That's good words, fellas. That's good words,
Well, all I can say is the other thing to that is for all of us on here who have been married for a while and just in it now, the reality is we got to deal with it. And we're going to have to either change our minds on what it is we don't like so that we can cope with it and make the best of the marriage, or we're going to have to find a way to objectify whatever the problem is and make it that, well, baby, you and I, we have a problem that we're going to have to deal with, even if the problem is her. But understanding that I got my problems too. So I got to approach it in a way that, hey, look, this is outside of who we are, in a sense, and let us deal with this problem together so that we are not sitting up here all frustrated and in this marriage and not happy over one issue that is blown up, like somebody just said, 10 times. It could be blown up 10 times, and we just shut down over this one thing, and we've made a mountain out of a molehill, because over time that's what it becomes if we don't deal with it and be honest with it and somehow come to a resolution on how we're going to deal with this problem. And if we don't do that, then we headed for divorce court after a while, because that's just happens. And I done seen it one too many times this year alone. Even though we counseling and dealing with folks, it just because people don't want to deal with the issue and figure out how we can change our minds on this subject and minimize it more than we are magnifying it, or just change it. Somebody decides to change and do something about it, maybe exercise, like somebody said, or be disciplined, whatever we got to do. But somebody's got to change, whether it's a mindset or a body. Well, it's always going to be a mindset, but somebody's got to change.
Yep. You know, as a compromise, it comes to some happy medium. But, you know, it's like exactly what you said. When it gets magnified 10, 15 times outside of what it started off from, it's so cloudy. You don't even know what's going on. You don't know which end is up.
Right.
At some point, one person's just got to be like, you know what? I don't even know what we're arguing about. I don't even know what this is about. You know, and you just really need to sit down and talk about it. So ultimately, it comes down to just, again, we talk about the finances and sex and the body changes and stuff like that and fantasy to reality. It's communication. Because the fact of it is that you can, I would like to hope to believe, still have some fantasy in your reality if you talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right.
If you talk about it, you know, but that's the difficult part. Somewhere along the line, you know, when you're courting somebody, you are talking up a storm. You're trying to tell them everything about you, your mama,
and making
your daddy's side of family, because you just want them to know you. You're trying to share with them all types. But then when you somehow take these vows, for whatever reason, and it's life, you know, jobs, things like that, kids, new decisions being made, parents getting older, death in the family, you start kind of shutting down and thinking, okay, I got to lock this in. I got to stand strong. I got to hold this. I got to do whatever. And that communication gets lost. And then in the process, all these things that we're talking about, yeah, your fantasy is definitely going to speed up because you're no longer talking.
Yeah,
right.
And I say let me ask you a question. That's a good point that you said. I just want to ask this real quick. Does sex change, but does communication change when you get married?
I think everything changes.
I think that's it. Everything changes.
Yeah.
It all gets uprooted and it just gets replanted somewhere else, and you got to figure it out. I mean, and you really work. You can read a book. You can have people talk to you about it. Dude earlier, I don't know if he's still on the call, said somebody, you know, he gets it 2 times a year. People can give you that little scenario. But as we've seen on this call, everybody's story is different.
Right.
I mean,
it isn't just one change. It's a perpetual change. You have to hear Roosevelt say it. I heard other brothers say it. You know, you're constantly changing. Another brother said that, his goal is to continue to get better and better, and he expects the same thing out of his wife, and that's not a bad expectation. And if you're leading by example, I believe that expectation will be met at some point or another with the help of God. But nonetheless, there's a constant growing, because physically growing, and in some cases, and hopefully there's some financial growing as well. The kids are growing, and so there's always going to be a different, you know, you got to adjust. If you don't have kids coming into the marriage, then, you know, you're having sex all over the house, maybe. Maybe having sex all over the house. You start having kids, then you got to be careful on, you know, when you're having sex and where you're having sex and everything. And as they get older and their ears become a lot more attentive, you know, you got to just wait until they're out of the house completely.
Well, let me ask you. And my point to that was I know we all accept it that it does change, but why does communication have to change? Is the reason why I say that is because when we were courting, we could talk to each other, we could share ideas, we can, you know, your
I'll
way
all
is,
night on the phone till the sun.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you fall asleep before I fall asleep. Count to three, you know, that type of thing. But then when you get in merge, communication changes to where you're highlighting, like we're talking about their weight and stuff like that, and we saying we need to talk to them. But what are we gonna talk to them to do? Highlight their negatives while we hold up our positives before them? You understand what I'm saying? How does it's the vice versa. That's how a lot of communication in marriage is I'm gonna put you down while I feel good about myself, whether it's from her point or your point. But why doesn't the communication stay the same, where you still can share the same dreams, same values? When do you ask her about her day? How was her day? Are you really interested in her day before Monday Night Football? Come on. I mean, really.
I'll say this about what you're talking, and that is, if I've got a problem with my wife's weight, then it is a problem for us, even if it's just me. There's a problem for us,
right?
We're going to have to try to figure this out, and I agree with you. I think we need to communicate that. Just let her know that, baby, I got a problem with your weight. That doesn't mean I got to put her down. But it is something, a desire that I've had for a long time. Realizing now, I'm not so super, I don't believe that bodies change, because they will, and mine is going to change too. But you did know what I liked into the marriage. Now, granted, if some health issues come or whatever it is, I might be forced to deal with some stuff, which means then I have to change. But if it's going to be something that's disciplined, then we're going to talk about it. Now, if she doesn't, if she just decides to stay or remain undisciplined about it, well, then I got to change, because I still made this commitment to her, and her weight is not going to be enough to say we're going to end this. Because, you know what, you done just got big, and you know I don't like weight. I can't do that, because my mindset is we in this for life.
Right.
And so I got to get myself together, and I got to change my mindset about it and realize or grow up or mature, however we want to, and say
right.
That is not as important as I've made it in my mind. I got to change.
Yeah,
that's
right.
My point exactly. So when you, that's my point exactly. So when you sat down and say, I got a problem with this, we didn't marry 20s. So, I mean, if you did marry a 20, that's because you liked the 20. You know, if you married a 6 or whatever it was, you married it because that's what you like.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there is somebody that do like a 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or 15 or 25, whatever it is.
Sure.
So when you say, I got a problem with it, in her mind, somebody else, the dude at the Safeway just said, oh, sweetheart, you look good. Can I get you another honey bun? You understand what I'm saying? you the one got a problem. I mean, so the thing is, what we got to understand is, how do we keep peace and love in our homes to where we ain't allowing outside influences, because we all up against them. You know, it said the adulterous tongue, it drips honey. It say sweet things. We talk about this lady that's 25 and all that stuff. But if you get caught in your workplace and you're in a closet and it's dark in there, and that big 25 star says she's gonna do something sweet to you, you don't care what size she is. You understand? And when you call them phone sex fantasy lines, that girl on that other side is 25.
Yeah.
She just saying the things that stimulate what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And in the right moment, that same 25 can come to you and stimulate what you want to hear, give you a piece of chicken, and rape.
Anyway, fellas, it's a little bit after 11:30. I think it's time for us to get to, you know, what have we learned this evening? What did we get out of you know, when the real world, when marriage goes from fantasy to reality, just to sort of wind this thing down, you know, since it is getting a little late. But what have we learned? What have we learned this evening? Anybody?
I'll still say, whatever situation you find yourself in, you're in it. You're in the relationship. There's a thing called commitment that to the vows that you made. You're going to have to stay committed to it, realizing that, yes, we might have some problems, but we have to work through them. And whatever that problem is doesn't mean we have to get a divorce. It doesn't mean I got to criticize you either about it, but it's just something that we need to bring to the forefront. Truth is truth. With it, make some changes, either physically or mentally, psychologically, and move on in the relationship. That's what I've gotten.
Yeah, what I got out of it, and it's something actually my wife says all the time, because the reality is marriage is work, and it's worthwhile work. And you know what she always says is that, you know, if you're on a job, you cannot shut down, you know, while you're on the job, while you're working. You know, you can't be whatever you do in your life. But, you know, by day, you know, if you're sitting at the office, you just can't say, well, I ain't doing the work today. I'm going to just, you know, just call it quits. You just can't do that. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, anybody can have a wedding. Anybody can do that. But the whole point is to stay married. And like the brother just said, it's like you in it. So, you know, you need to figure it out. You may need to change. She may need to change, or you both may need to change.
Right.
But you got to figure it out, because it's, you know, the only way out is death. I mean, you said it. You know, you agreed to that. Say, yeah, till death do us part. So, I mean, you got to figure it out. You know, if she go up to a 25, you know, I know that, you know, I might have said if she get to a 12 or 14, it might be,
you know, but I'm still going to be here. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I love my wife, and she's a 25 or 55 for, you know, drive around in an 18-wheeler or something. I still love her, you know, so I'm not going anywhere. But it's all about the reality is that this thing is work. And I think the whole fantasy is that it's not work. That it's going to be easy and everything's going to be nice and everything's going to be lovely. No, absolutely not. This thing is work, but it's worthwhile work. So I think, you know, that's what I learned tonight, that the reality is that this thing is work. Hard work.
Yeah. I would chime in on that same thing and just say that, and as a believer, and I think at this time, 11:30, what have you, usually, and hopefully I don't offend nobody, but usually everyone else is off the phone and is the true, those who are, I know, are men of God, are okay with me saying these type of things. And faith, James says that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So we can't believe in God helping our marriage or pulling out, you know, edifying our marriages through the word and not putting in some work that proves that we're believing God, whatever that is, you know, working with our wives or adjusting and communicating differently, growing together, what have you. So, yes, I would definitely say that we have to put in some work. There's no way around that. There has to be some work instituted into the marriage and has to be done by us. We have to understand our responsibilities, our roles, and we have to effectively work at that regardless on whether or not or what she is, our spouse is doing in the relationship. We have to keep that in mind that, okay, well, this is what I need to happen. And I'm believing that God's going to give me the desires of my heart, which is simply my fantasy. So if I'm believing my fantasy, which lines up with the word of God, so let's, I know we use the term fantasy, but I don't want to create this. I know we use fantasy sometimes in the sexual sense. So if my fantasy, my desires line up with the word of God, I believe he's going to give it to me. So right now, it might not look like, it might be a brick wall type fantasy or reality, but I'm believing that my fantasy can be my reality. And it's going to take some work. It's going to take some time on my end. I'm going to have to see it all the way through, and I'm going to put it in. But I'm believing at the end of the day, I won't get weary in my well-doing, and in due season, I'm going to reap it.
You know what? I agree with you. It's just, for me, it's just, it's one of those things where I actually had to face that. Like I said, my situation is a little bit different, I think, than most people who are on the call. So, you know, but the one thing I had to face was, and going into it with that mentality and with that belief was, at some point, you know, how far do you take that? You know, it came down to, it got so serious to the point where it's asking, are you willing to risk your life for that belief, you know, and that hope and that desire and that outcome with your wife? Mm-hmm. Because if not, and you are just spiraling out of control and things are just going really bad, you know, we would meet with pastors all the time, and I would, you know, and initially meeting with pastors, I would say things like, you know, I would listen and just, you know, try to be respectful and everything else. Meeting with pastors got to a point where it just pissed me off. You know, it was like, you know, everybody's talking the same thing. Oh, you just need to pray about it and believe in God and da da da. And I'm thinking, you know what? And I got to the point where respect was out the window. And now let me just tell you where I really am with this. And I would tell them all the time, you know what? Your words are dangerous because you don't know my situation and you're giving this canned advice. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, okay. So, and I would say, you know, things like, if it came to the point where you're telling me just believe and just, you know, stay in there and you got to work through it, and I end up in jail because I beat my wife to death, are you going to come visit me? Are you going to say at that point that you made a wrong decision and maybe I shouldn't stay with her? You know, so how far do you actually take that? And unfortunately, we may never speak about it because it may deal a little bit more with the whole biblical issue of it, but the bottom line, I mean, that was more along the lines of my issue. I believe that, but at some point, it's like, okay, somebody's going to get hurt, like, seriously, either emotionally or physically.
Right, and I know we were trying to wind down or whatever, but I think it's very necessary, considering the context of this call, that to at least address what you just said. And
keep it going.
I would say that as far as my faith is concerned, and I don't usually on the call, I don't usually bring up scripture and stuff, but at this time of the night, I just, you know, it's usually just two or three brothers left on the phone. So it's usually all right. But nonetheless, I'm never one to try to convince anybody of what the word says, so I'm not never going to beat you over the head with the word. All I can really say is what has happened to me because of the word. And so my relationship, I'm basing, when I'm saying something like what I just said earlier, that I'm saying that based on me and my wife's relationship. Me and my wife, we didn't have sex before we got married. And we, for the most part, we were geographically separated until like the 2 months up until we got married. So, and I didn't meet her online or anything like that.
Right. I understand.
But nonetheless, we were geographically separated. We never did. And I think that's just a testament to God, first of all, of keeping me, because I don't think I'd have been able to be kept myself if she was in the area, if she was up the street and we were dating for, you know, I think something would have went awry. But nonetheless, we didn't. So I didn't know what to expect coming into the relationship. And I had my fantasies. I had my desires, my wishes, and all this other stuff. And it didn't happen the way I would have expected it to or wanted it to. All the fireworks and all that other stuff, it wasn't exactly like that. Nonetheless, there was a lot of emotional tie there between us. But as time went on, we learned more about each other. We didn't even spend a whole lot of time courting. You know, we were, it's only a few months and we were married. I knew, she knew, and we just got married. But
that sounds pretty familiar so far, because we were engaged about, well, we met, and about a year or so later we got married.
Right. We met in January. I visited a couple of times where she was. She came here once. I proposed to her in May. We got married in September. So it was real quick, kind of maybe 4 or 5 times of actually even seeing each other. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, let me, without going off on a tangent on that, is after, you know, obviously being together and truly being in the unknown, because none of us, neither one of us kind of knew how the other one reacted in certain situations, didn't know really the background of each other, didn't know what kicked the other person off, and, you know, what buttons to push, what not to push, da-da-da-da. And the first couple years were rough because of that. They really were. I mean, to the point where we could have easily been separated or divorced or what have you like that, because it was frustrating. The unknown can usually be like that. But then as we continued to progress on, because both of us were determined to make this work, and we kept working at it, we kept, you know, feeding on, we kept learning each other, I guess is really where I'm going with that, and we kept adjusting to each other. And not necessarily compromise. I don't want to use the word compromise like some people use in marriage, but I would say adjusting to each other, because I'm still standing my ground, and she's a strong woman, and she'll stand her ground. And but I think in learning that, I know it's kind of to know her is to love her, as far as I'm concerned, and to know me is to love me, because I can be set in my ways and things like that. But I think in that growing together and that determination to say, we're going to stay in this relationship. Both of us are God-fearing individuals, and we're both growing in the Word together, and we're both supporting each other's desires and visions and dreams. And that goes a long way. Does that mean that we have a perfect marriage? Does that mean we don't have disputes or what have you? No, but it definitely means we're no longer going to bed at night with our backs turned to each other or the silent treatment. We kind of canceled that out. We did that in the beginning, and we've seen how not productive, but unproductive those type of things were. When we let each other know, neither one of us sleep on the couch. The bed belongs to both of us, so if you want to go, you can go, but you're not going to put me anywhere.
That's right, Rod.
So it's that type of thing. And so it's timing. You know, it's work. You're putting the work in, and this, again, going back to the scripture, don't get weary in well-doing, and due season you're going to reap. Now, who knows when that time is? I don't know. It's a week for one individual. It might be 3 years for another individual. I don't know. But I do know that he's not going to put more on you than what you can bear. I think you can handle it. Whatever situation that you found yourself in, you and your wife, I believe you can handle it. Whether God put you together or you put you together, you're now together, and God's going to honor it, and he's going to help you through whatever situation you find yourself in. I do understand your plight. Some situations I didn't think we were ever going to make it through. I didn't think I was ever going to forgive. And it wasn't even big things, small things, to the point where I think some brother said it earlier, I had forgotten what the heck it was. But to keep my momentum, so to speak, I come in not saying nothing. Come into the house from work, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not talking to, I don't know why I'm not talking to you, but I remember I'm not supposed to be talking to you right now. And that's ridiculous. That was immature. And when it finally, I guess I finally matured, I realized how immature it was. And, you know, you kind of have to work through that. Again, there's no roadmap to marriage, I don't think. And each relationship is going to be different. Each one of us can talk about, you know, all night long about the different scenarios that we've had in our relationships. But ultimately, my wife is an individual, I'm an individual, and no matter what book you write about marriage, it's going to be based on your marriage, not mine. And we're going to have to work in our marriage.
Let me jump in right there, because we always, you know, I always say, like my man said, it come down to where it might come down to physical and you doing something to her or her, you know, life or matter, life or death. But you never have a marriage problem. You always have an individual problem. And if you look within yourself, then most of the time you can find a solution to that problem. I tell you right now, I'm dealing with the problem, and I just surrendered to today, as a matter of fact. And that's where, if you haven't seen this movie called Not Easily Broken, it's a great movie.
Great movie.
Great principles in it, great storyline, and it's the reality of what we go through as black men. But when I watched that movie, one of the things that the pastor had asked the lady one time, when he gave her the vows, he said, a cord of three is not easily broken. And he said, in a marriage, your cord of three is you, him, and God is that third cord. Never let that third cord go. And individually, when I say you got an individual problem, it's when I let that cord go in my marriage because of past experiences, because of, you know.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
I'm still here.
I'm here.
He must have went gone. He must have went dead. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Man, he was
Well, sharing. Anyway, that was a good movie. So, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely a good movie. I know what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to follow what the gentleman was saying earlier about, you know, at certain points, you got to hear a little bit more than just constantly going to a minister, because that will get you frustrated. I definitely understand that. I've always been the type of individual that can listen to things to a certain point, but after a while, if that's the only thing that's being relayed, that's going to be difficult for me to continue to swallow. You know, it is one of those things where, you know, my wife and I, before we got married, we pretty much dated for 7 years. You know, now we're married and things are going well. But there's a lot of times within it where there are some frustrating points, and it just all comes back to, you know, really just understanding who you are and being able to voice that. You know, if you recognize that, you know, something's coming up and you need to take yourself out of a situation, you might need to do that. If you recognize there's something that's lacking and, you know, you need to have a conversation about that, then some things need to be said, you know, because it is one of these things where there is no right or wrong for this. You know, there's no, well, there are things with regards to right or wrong. We all understand that. But there's no concrete way to do it. Because as we've talked about here before, you know, everybody's book would be different. If you wrote about your marriage, it would be yours.
Right.
If you wrote about mine, it would be mine. You know, and that's just pretty much it. You know, the key to it, I think, though, is really having outlets to be able to come to some type of resolve before it gets to those points where you want to throw hands or you want to take off a ring and put your cell phone down and just leave, and then she doesn't know where you are and can't get in contact with you and stuff like that. I've had friends do that, you know. Well, wives calling here wondering, you know, where are they? Where have they gone? Well, I don't know. I'm not on the East Coast, you know. I don't know where they are. You know, but those are the type of things where if you get involved in conversations and groups like this and discussions where we can have these head of household calls, you could actually start to work through a lot of these things and get assistance. Because really, you know, as you know, we've talked about this and we said it before, you know, when we get to the end of a call like this, I know, you know, this is when I usually, you know, at the end I get off the phone and I honestly am refreshed.
You know, I can sit there and I can say, you know what, I got some good things tonight. You know, I might not necessarily agree with everything, but I got some good things that I can take away from it. And, you know, I feel 15 times stronger the next day. And that's you know, I talked earlier about, you know, keeping myself in shape and running the neighborhood and working out and eating healthy. But, you know, you can't get what you're getting from these calls from working out and eating healthy.
Right.
And that's what I think is essential with regards to being able to recognize what you can do in order to kind of ward off some of these things. And it's not necessarily from a pastor. It's just from other men, just being able to talk about it. And that's what I've learned the most, not just from tonight, but from all of the calls, is that there's so much more that comes through just dialogue.
Right.
Dialogue that sometimes can, you know, can get a little dicey. You know, it can hit home on some points. It can come across sometimes as, you know, seeming like criticism. But ultimately, you know what? It's directed at me. It was meant for me to pick up the phone and to hear what was going on, to chime in when I wanted to chime in, because it's going to help me somewhere down the line. You know,
sure.
I might not be in a situation right now where I feel like, you know what, I'm about to throw these hands on somebody. You know, she was a dude, she was busting them out. You know, I might not be in that situation, but it's one of these things that because we're having this conversation right now, I know how to potentially respond, and that's the key word, is to respond. You know, and that's what I learned from this call tonight. To answer the question about tonight, is I learned how to respond to this rather than to react. That's simply put. I'm a little long-winded sometimes, but I'm going to just sum it up with that. I learned how to respond instead of react. There it is. That's what I got.
Wow.
And you learned that from where, you said? You got that from where?
I learned that from tonight.
From tonight.
I learned that from tonight with regards to this whole thing that we've been talking about with the fantasy to reality. Because, you know, I got on the call and I was talking about the things with running and skipping and jumping and frolicking outside the neighborhood. That was me, you know. I'll say that. That was me. And I'm serious about it. But,
brother, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I think you really need to hear this one. You need to put that down, copyright it, and start writing you a book on that, what you just said. Respond instead of react. I'm telling you some good stuff. That's what you need to do.
Well, fellas, you know what? I'm going to tell you that whole thought, it's come from being on these calls. You know, it would be great for Rodney and the other gentleman. What I don't know all the names. The two of you who facilitate this discussion and have got it going.
Yeah.
For you to put something together, and for you all to really, because that's really what these calls are about. As head of households, how do you respond instead of react to all the things that come about?
Wow.
That's what it is.
Do you want to tell him, Tony? Go ahead, tell him, Tony.
How about we make that our topic for next week?
You killing us. You killing us.
Make it a topic.
Hey, that's a topic for next week.
I'm telling you, gentlemen, for me, that's what the call has been about. All these calls, each and every one of these weeks. Because you know what the thing about it is that we all say, oh, man, it's common sense. Common sense is not that common anymore. It's just not. It's not common. It's just not. And you need more than that. And through me getting on these calls, you know, sometimes I got little comments. I try to throw my little jabs in there, you know, going back and forth with people. I'm just going to be honest, you know, and things like that when people try to say things or whatever. But ultimately at the end of the conversation when I hang the phone up and I walk away from it, I've learned something that's going to allow me to respond appropriately with my household.
That's some good stuff. If I don't know if you are or not, but if you are a preacher, let me know when you preach that message.
Wow. Oh, I'm not a preacher. Because y'all heard some of the things I said on this call. I should not be a preacher with some of the things I said.
If you know how many things preachers have done, they should not be preachers. But God calls everybody. Or he can call anyone from any walk of life, regardless of your background, and he can do things with you. But I don't say that to many people, but that's a strong word. I mean, I'd read the book, I'd listen to the sermon, I'd listen to the song, if you're ready, whatever. That's a powerful word you just said.
Wow.
Pastor Payton.
That
on the line.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we can use that as a testimony? Can we cut that part out? Maybe we talk about it offline.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He just broke it down, sir. He just broke it down. I'm sorry. He broke it down.
Yeah. I'm
still stuck in my seat right now.
I am too.
Peyton is probably curled up in the fetal position right now.
Man, I'm be honest. Most of the times when I'm on these calls, fellas, I'm pacing. I don't sit down the whole time. I'm just pacing the room. I'm walking around the house doing. I'm pacing. I can't sit still. But you know what though? That's always kind of how. You know, I say this. This is going a little bit off topic, but I'll say this. I've never really been one that's really ever felt comfortable in the church. I think that's part of the reason why a lot of times I feel challenged, maybe even threatened, when I get around individuals that are constantly just dropping verses and reading scripture and all this stuff, because I've never really felt comfortable. And that's why on these calls, I'm pacing the whole time. But at the same time, I'm processing. You know, as a young man growing up in the church, one of the things my minister used to always say to me from the pulpit, he would say, Peyton Owens, he would say my full name, Peyton Owens. One day it'll all make sense, because he would see me sitting there in the pew, squirming, not being able to sit still, looking at my mom like she's crazy when she's crying and I'm looking uncomfortable. He would see that. He would talk to me about it, but he would say, Peyton Owens, one day it's going to all make sense. Well, as I've gotten older and I've had opportunities to experience things and I'm matured and I've had different things afforded to me from people in my life to opportunities to being blessed with a beautiful baby girl and being married, and now have an opportunity to get on these calls, you know what? It all makes sense.
That's what's up.
And that's basically what I'm trying to say, you know, at the end of this, you know, with what I learned today and my times of calling in is I'm through for it all to make sense, you have to learn how to, going back to it, you got to learn how to respond, not react, you know?
Yeah.
Because
the biggest
battle for me in my life, for me, if it was a kryptonite, we haven't talked about this, but the biggest battle for Peyton has always been choice. I always knew what to do. I was that cat that told the line. It's always been choice. Choice is my battle. It's my struggle. It's not pornography. It's not alcohol. It's not women. It's choice. It's me.
Amen.
But these calls, you know, I get off the phone and I scratch my head and I say, you know, am I becoming a stronger believer in the word? I might slowly be getting there.
Wow. But it's your style.
What the minister said. One day, Peyton Owens, it'll all make sense.
Up,
went back home for, when was I was there? What was I there for? Was just back for the summer. Was sitting there. Was back with the baby and wife. We sitting there with my mom on the pew, you know. And for the first time in maybe a long time, I can't even think, you know, they're singing these same songs that I've heard for the longest time in my life, and I'm crying with my mama.
Wow.
Because one day, Peyton Owens, it'll all make sense, and just as sure as the minister married me, he stood there at the pulpit that day this summer and pointed and said, Peyton Owens, whatever I always said. And there it is.
And Peyton, you probably stopped pacing right now, didn't you? Or you stopped pacing, or you still pacing?
Actually, I'm leaning against the wall, but I'm not pacing. I'm not
still standing up.
Oh, but I'm still standing up. But that's
to be honest, Peyton, and I'm gonna say this, and that's gonna be it for me. But I think you just found out why you're so frustrated.
Wow.
Yeah.
You might have to sit down now, Peyton.
Probably that one.
And Peyton, let me just say something to you, man. I mean, honestly, we're getting ready to have, I just met with somebody today that's going to start up a woman's, a wife's conference call.
Yes.
And that was great news today, because that means that this thing is moving forward in the right direction. Okay, and that was a big, big, big discovery, and it's great for us to hear that, and we're moving in the right direction. But let me tell you something. Everything that I've heard, and I've heard a lot of testimonies, a lot of good stuff about this call within the last couple of weeks. But what you just said just now tops all of it.
Yeah.
With the last statement that you just said tops all of it. That makes us know that even the Tuesdays that I don't feel like getting on, I'm tired, I think an excuse, I don't want to do it. You know, whatever the case may be, but we know that a call has to happen every Tuesday because people depend on getting on this call. Even if it's one person, people depend on getting on this call and just talking.
Yeah.
You just right there validated again that we got to get on next Tuesday and the next Tuesday and the next Tuesday and we got to keep it going. You just did that just now. And that's what I learned from tonight. Everything that I learned from tonight is void. I learned just what you said is what I learned just now, is that we got to keep this thing going every single Tuesday, rain, shine, snow, depression, recession, lights out, whatever the case may be, we still got to be on this call.
Say that. Say that. Great call.
Wow.
I appreciate it. Because honestly, when Ronnie first told me about the call, you know, I didn't look to get involved because I really didn't think I had anything to offer. I really didn't think I was going to be able to make an impact in any way. And it wasn't necessarily about, you know, the individuals that I thought were going to be on the call. It's always been, and it will continue to be, it's just, you know, what I think about myself, what I'll be able to do, and how I see things. And just, you know, hearing that, I appreciate it. You know, it's words like that I say when I get off the phone, you know, that allows me to be able to just, you know, to sleep well and to just know that, you know, I'm blessed in a lot of ways. And I'm just happy that I have an opportunity to contribute, fellas.
Man,
that's the honest truth.
Thank you.
Praise God, man.
Yeah,
praise
man.
God.
I don't even really have the words to just tell you right now because we've been at this thing for a long time. And again, you know what I mean? We don't make money. We just do it because the Lord says there's a need for this. And that's what it came about. And a lot of times we know that some people get on the phone and do get a little churchy because that's what's in them. And we understand that can be irritating sometimes, especially when they don't know what they're talking about, because we get that too. You know what I'm saying? But when you go back to your experience with your childhood pastor and bring that into this mix and talk about what he told you back then, what you see coming to life now, and then you speak the conference call in the same breath, brother, that is humongous for us, man. Humongous. Humongous. And that's it for me, man. I ain't going to sleep
around. Ain't nothing else to say. Nothing else to say.
Anybody want to say anything, man? Anybody else want to finish this thing?
How many people
I've got
on?
Nothing. Hmm?
How many people are still on?
Eight people.
Eight.
There's eight of us.
Yeah.
Eight people.
Hanging strong. Appreciate y'all hanging in there, fellas. All eight of y'all.
Yeah.
Because it is late.
It is late, but you know what? It was well worth the extra hour.
Yeah. And that's what I hate about these calls. I can't go to sleep after I get off.
No, I'm not ready.
I cannot go to sleep. I'm like, gosh, I won't be able to go to sleep till 1:30 now. But
well,
you know, it's worth it.
I'll just say, to reiterate what you guys said, Peyton, what you said did it.
Yeah.
It's only my second call, but for you to say that, man, that's you don't know how huge that is.
For him to say that?
Yep, for him to say that, that was huge.
Huge.
And what did Peyton say last week? He's like, "You calling me evil?"
Wait a minute, are you saying
that me then?
He was defensive last week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all
recognize real quick, Peyton is all over the place. But one place he will be on his call.
That's
my man.
That's what's up.
And again, man, I said this is your call.
Yeah.
Nobody on this line talking owns this call. So it's your call. I mean, you know, whatever you want to do, however we want to say what we got to say, we just say what we got to say, get what we can get out of it. This thing is about awareness. That's it.
Yep.
Just awareness. Whatever you get, I mean, some people are going to take less, some people are going to take more, but it is what it is. But the call has to happen every Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there, fellas, and I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I feel like I could cry if I really thought about it and really thought about some other things, because one of the prayers that I say every day is, you know, Lord, give me the strength to burst out of any prison that personally binds me. And I got a lot. I got a lot of little prisons that bind me, you know, and I try to be real slick with the talking. And, you know, that's always been my thing is, like, you know, if you come at me a certain way, I'm going to try to slaughter you with the words. I'm going to find your weakness, and I'm going to go after it. But the thing about it is when I still on these calls and I'm hearing everything that's going on, I realize that, I'm going about a lot of this stuff just the wrong way. I mean, you all are making an impact for me just being able to get on this call. I mean, because there's a lot of times where I just don't feel like I have any out, you know, and I just don't have an out. And I'm not afraid. Like I said, my battle has always been choice, you know. I know what to do, but I might not do that because I'm okay with, and I've been this person in the past, and I'm starting to get better now with my daughter being here, you know, and, you know, I'm going to prove a point. If there's a board and I'm that nail, I'm going to drive the nail through the board to make the point. But what I'm realizing is that, you know, I gotta reassess that. You know, I really gotta sit down and redefine what that is. And with these head of household calls, you know, like I said, it's about learning how to respond. And I'm hearing it from other people because I don't have all the answers. I don't have them. I like to think that I have them. I like to think that I can figure it out on my own, but I don't have all the answers. When I get on the call and I hear other people express things that they're going through, some of the trials and tribulations and things and hurdles and obstacles, it allows me to say, you know what, I'm not the only one, you know, and I do have an out. It's by picking up this phone, getting on this call, hearing what other people are talking about, being able to chime in, but most importantly, being able to listen.
Yeah.
To listen. And that's right. The most important thing. You know what? I'm not even going to lie to you. When I was in middle school and I was in high school, people would have thought that was my name as many times as people would say, man, just listen. People would have thought that was my name. Because I got that said to me so much, people were probably like, is his name Listen? I mean, what is his name? You know, but that was me. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes even in college.
We know you were listening to your pastor because you remember that phrase.
Right. But see, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. It's like I need to, as I've gotten older and matured, you know, I really decided to take an active role and bring it to the forefront, those things that matter, and stop trying to just push them off to the side, tuck them away, and pull them out when they're relevant. It's always relevant, you know. It's always relevant. It always matters.
Hey, Peyton, if I could just encourage you with a few things that I've heard from you tonight. Number one is that responding and reacting, I just got that last year, and I was so excited because I got it. And I'm listening to you, and it just comes off your mouth, like, so easily. And that's one thing. The other thing is there's a side to Christianity that we don't talk about a lot, but it's spirituality. It shouldn't be a difference, but there is a difference between Christianity and spirituality. I hear you as being someone who is spiritual. That's crucial. And unfortunately, being a Christian doesn't equate to spirituality anymore, unfortunately, like it should. You're on target. The Lord is doing something in you, man, that at least I can hear it, and I'm sure everybody else is hearing this same thing who know.
Yeah.
So, man, when you see God doing stuff in people like this, it is just so encouraging to us because you get it. And where you are doesn't matter. You don't need titles. You don't need certain things that come with religion. You're not doing that. You're just being who you are. Because the ultimate goal of Christianity, one of the ultimate goals, I should say, is being in control of yourself. That's what Jesus came for, is to get us out of control of the spirit of the enemy and get us to be able to make the right choice. And so for you to just so simply say, my battle is choice, that's what all of our battle was. And that is because the enemy had us. And whatever that spirit told us to do is what we did, regardless of whether we wanted to or not, in some cases. And so for you to say that very simply so says you understand something about what the Lord came to do. And anytime you can recognize or state a problem, that problem can be solved.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you recognized and stated it for yourself, which means it can be solved.
Yeah.
Through Christ, of course, is our lean. But
wow. And I think what Peyton, I don't know if you remember, I told you when I introduced you to the call, I don't know if I mentioned, but I usually do. I said it's going to change your life.
Yeah, you did.
It's going to be life-changing. So I'm glad you responded to that. You could have been like, I don't want to change my life. I'm good. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Running around the block, I'm good.
Well, fellas, the first step to any of that is to show up.
That's right.
And the first thing he did was he showed up.
Yep.
Right. You know what I mean? Our job is to create the meeting. That's it. Everything else is out of our hands. We just create the meeting, and which is the call.
Right.
And everything else, it happens. This thing isn't staged. We don't talk about how we're going to go about it. None of that. We get on the call, and the flow of the call, Grad takes its own legs and just starts running. It is what it is. And it's always gone. It's always gone in a good direction. Wow.
Love it.
Go ahead.
I just say love.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Go ahead. Did he get cut off?
No, I was just saying I love this call.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good.
Is there anybody on for the first time tonight?
Who's there? Oh.
Is anybody on tonight for the first time? Right now?
I don't know about right now, but we
had
some
early.
Yeah, we did have some early, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, fellas, again.
Another great one.
Another great one. I think we have a topic for next week. We'll discuss it, figure out how we can put it together, but I think we have a topic for next week.
What's up?
That was good. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right.
You guys
right.
Have a great rest of the week.
Have a great evening.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Good
fellas.
Night.
All right.
Bye. All right. Hold on.
You calling me back? What are we going to do?
No, we're going to stay on.
You can just stay on?
Yeah.
You got to cut it off, though, right?
You got to stop recording, yeah.
Hold on.